go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 8th day of March, 2024. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between and the Great Globe Round. And where if you do pop in right now, wow, what a group we've got going in there. Anatole's here, so's Irish Dave, Kid Mark, Ralph, Squeaky, and Theo. Hey, gang. Happy Friday. And, wow, what a night. Oh, by the way, coming up 2 a.m. Sunday morning, spring forward. We'll get a little more daylight at the end of the day instead of at the beginning. Remember the old Native American saying, only a white man would think that you can cut the end off of a blanket and put it on the other end and have more blanket. I remember that every time we change time. So come Monday, I'll probably screw up and say 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, and then it'll be Eastern Daylight Time. Hey, hi, I'm Robin. It's Friday on the front porch. Here in about 56 minutes. We will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler elves who keep raising our rent, and gather together around the extraordinary, ordinary round table that we keep there for just such an occasion. And I have a feeling we're going to be talking about the State of the Union and things related to the State of the Union. But before I get into that, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our 8th day of the month subscribers via PayPal. And I will be going to the mailbox, The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801, to see what's in there. Thank you, though, to Marsha. Thank you, Marsha. And Marsha is the only subscriber for the 8th day of the month. So James was the only subscriber for the 7th, Marsha for the 8th. It would be, it would be great if somebody wanted to jump in and give Marsha some company on the 8th day of the month. $10 subscription sets you back less than the price of about a third of a McDonald's hamburger, no cheese even, per program. And a McDonald's hamburger, with or without cheese, will not last you 3 hours, but this program will. Right.
I think I finally got the right one up, Lou. Your humble hostess is a little bit ditzy, and she's been known to be be blonde, and so there's something going on. I'm not going to get into any like night baseball with this or in the weeds or anything, but every program when I record it goes into a certain file folder, and then I take it out and I convert it and turn it into the upload. 2 days in a row now, I don't know if I've stumbled with the mouse or what, but I've gotten the wrong file. Yeah, Lou, I think I finally got the right one up. because the first two were abortive. But the thing is, I re-upload it to Podbean and I overwrite the file, and then I hope all the other podcasting platforms catch it. But I don't necessarily know how the system magic works with that. And our sister Micah is a computer genius. Maybe she knows. As it is, I'll try not to screw this one up, you know, once this program is in the can and goes for upload. And I think I've got it right, you know, because it says, well, never mind. So the fundraising goal, a first full week of March community-made fundraising miracle, would be $1,175, which would be awesome if we could knock any or part of that out. Basically, we are unfunded for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today of this week. Well, we're $25 funded for Tuesday, so there's $275 to go on Tuesday. There are scary bills that are due this coming Tuesday, the 12th. You know, existential bills. You know, whether or not we're going to have a show kind of bills. So we'll see how that plays out. I had a lovely note from Brian earlier this afternoon. And by way of preface, oh, and, you know, the standard rules apply for Friday on the Front Porch. There's a button there at the top of HeadOn.live if you can't just get in through Skype. I think you can actually get in via me, you know, via HeadOn, or not HeadOn, via Robin Kincaid Horn, KincaidHorn, on my Skype page. I think I've done that in the past. I don't know. We can try that too. If you can't use Skype, the stress line is always available, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. It says March 7th, Ralphs, okay, fingers are crossed. Only in New York, the file upload was aborted. Robin, isn't that a crime in Alabama? Oh, all across the Confederacy, without a doubt. But back to the lovely note that I got from Brian. And before I jump into the text of that, let's just say it off from jump. Now, there are members of this community who are older than I. But after I watched the State of the Union last night, I had to think back. And no, none of the 8 State of the Union addresses given by, or was it 7, by Barack Obama were as great as last night. None of the 7 State of the Unions given by Bill Clinton were as great as Joe Biden last night. It goes without saying that no Republican ever gave a State of the Union within my lifetime as brilliant as last night. And, well, I was coming up on 10 months old when John Kennedy was assassinated. Too young to remember or even perhaps hear any State of the Union address by LBJ. And then there was Richard Nixon, suffice to say. And so I sat there wondering, how are the Republicans going to respond to this? Well, I got to give, this makes me nauseated even saying, I got to give them credit. Because as brilliant as the address was, attention certainly turned rather rapidly away from it to talk about Katie Britt. Stepford, hashtag Stepford Katie. And so that's the note. That's the topic of the note coming from Brian. The stuck on herself, Katie Britt. As soon as Katie Britt's image came on the screen, I said, well, this is not going to go over well for the GOP. This was another GOP failed response to a Democratic president's State of the Union. What terrible acting. Every time she started to try to cry, she started smiling again. When she said that, I know your family sits around the table in your kitchen like this one, holding hands. Brian notes, she lives in Talibanistan. Not everybody lives in a house with a large kitchen like that. They should not have had her in her large five-bedroom home with a kitchen the size of the White House kitchen. She generalized. She never offered policy that the GOP has to bring up because we know they have none. Zilch, nada, nothing. They had her in a prom dress because that was how she was presenting herself, smiling, tilting her head left and right. You don't need an Ivy League degree to see right through that bad, bad, bad performance at making a rebuttal speech. I know that our Horn family knows this already because we have family members without Ivy League degrees, but we have family that have common sense, hard-working hands, great minds, hearts that love, really love. We have common everyday people that we hear on this program and make comments that make more sense than what comes out of the halls of Washington, D.C. We learn more on this Horn program than anywhere. Thank you, Robin, for the program. Brian, that is one of the sweetest things anyone's ever written. And it just absolutely touches me. Thank you. And everything Brian just said is true. Of course, the first thing most people observed was that the Republicans put the woman in the kitchen because that's the only place that they have anything resembling for respect for a woman. Yeah, Roger in Oregon says she was auditioning for VP. The number of people who thought that Sarah McLachlan's In the Arms of an Angel should have been playing were legion. She is a national joke that will not soon be forgotten. I mean, the fact that, you know, I tuned into my filthy morning habit this morning, and there they were talking about, I think it was Joe who said it, well, Piyush Jindal, and I said Piyush, you know, Bobby, because he named himself after the Brady Bunch. You're valid. Piyush Jindal and Marco Rubio are feeling a little better about themselves this morning because they had been holders of the title of worst Republican response to a State of the Union. And, well, they've been outpaced by Katie Britt by a long shot. And I checked in on some boards where decent people from Alabama communicate. And every non-maggot in Alabama is still experiencing a full body cringe over Katie. And the parodies. Oh, the parodies. Emilio says, in a kitchen like this. With a huge marble island that someone could sleep on? Yeah, in a kitchen like that. Republican response to the State of the Union, Lee in New York. He coughed! The old president's about to die! Stop President Harris! Brooga, 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 warble whoosh! I know. Yeah, Lou, it probably won't for you. It's probably still the same screwed-up old program for you. And I'm not being derogatory. Depending on where you're downloading it, if you're getting it direct from Podbean or direct from the HeadOn.live site, it will be the right it'll be the right one. I hope. So I thought, you know, why not? This will be cute. I mentioned parodies. Pretty sure this is one of them.
Good evening, America. My name is Katie Britt, and I have the honor of serving the people of the great state of Alabama in the United States Senate.
Don't you just love the evangelical baby girl voice? I think it's adorable. And she was dressed in green like money.
Obviously, that's not the parody. Well, I mean, it is. She was a self-parody. The number of people today saying, oh my God, Saturday Night Live is going to be amazing. You know, that must be some terrible performance pressure. It's kind of like when the Orioles fan puts pressure on me to come up with an obligatory Star Trek reference, and I have to start to do it, you know, thinking about a Star Trek reference while I'm doing the program, and it's, performance anxiety. But you got, I wonder if they could just, well, I was thinking Kate McKinnon, no, I don't know who they will get to do Katie Britt, as in impersonate Katie Britt before we run the program into the gutter only 16 minutes in. But I expect it'll be genius level. But let's see, Micah sent me this review, which was pretty darn fun. Folks, we went from the best State of the Union I've ever seen in my 40-plus years on this planet to an interdimensional ASMR demon using mom energy to call forth Eldritch Patriot zombies. That's pretty much it. Subject line, Joe, Matt in San Francisco, says, wasn't it like the president finally remembered what it means to be a Democrat? Yeah. And bless his heart, he even threw a crumb to people like me, acknowledging our existence again, which, of course, drove all the maggots right around a tree, up a tree, through a tree. One former aide to Nitwit Nero has said that putting Katie in the kitchen, oh, there's a new name, Kitchen Katie. Well, over at The View, they didn't take too kindly to that. Even former Trump aide Lisa Farah Griffin wasn't a fan. Now, as to Katie Britt, Lee in New York said, I did not hear her before this. She sounds like she's thanking the judge for giving her the beauty contest. Darlene, on the other hand, says, Britt equals a cross between drama queen and pageant queen in the kitchen with the lead pipe. Sorry, non-obligatory clue reference. You'll have those.
After midnight with this one last night.
Oh, Anna, we were cracking up.
Well, they chose Alabama Senator Katie Britt to deliver the Republican response to Biden's State of the Union, which they always do have somebody on the opposing team, and it was a lot to process. Watch.
Right now, the American dream has turned into a nightmare. President Biden's border policies are a disgrace. The American people are scraping by while President Biden proudly proclaims that Bidenomics is working. Goodness, y'all. Bless his heart. We hear you. And we stand with you.
Get some medication.
Just to be clear, that was real-time live audience laughter of the live audience at The View. I mean, Aunt Lydia, really?
Katie, I haven't seen acting that bad since my wedding night.
Which
genius in that party decided that she was the perfect spokesperson? I've never seen mood swings like this. One minute she's like, then she's like, I'm going to take a knife and stab you. Then she's laughing like an idiot. I mean, what's wrong with this? She's like Sybil.
A disaster from start to finish. And actually, Katie Britt is somebody who's a serious person with policy chops. Democratic senators will tell you they respect her. But it's Women's History Month. It's International Women's Day. And we put the senator in the kitchen. Like, women can be wives. They can be moms.
they don't, we're in front of a podium. I mean, it was, I was hearing from Republican women everywhere, like, what, why did they choose us? Why did she not say, put me anywhere else?
What is she auditioning for, though? Because I don't think she's going to get a call back.
And no. I think they were thinking Ronald Reagan, like, all great change in America happens at the dinner table, but instead it gave, like, creepy Lifetime
but
movies.
She needs, yeah, but she needs, the girl needs mood elevators.
Yeah, but then she started talking about, like, and I speak to parents, I speak to moms, and she talks about her kitchen table. There are more than four or five references, and what I thought is, don't lie to a fellow mom. Who can come home with young children or children at all and sit at that damn table? That has not happened since the 1950s. Yeah. And by the way, I don't think about whether I'll have dinner prepared. Max doesn't remember the last time I had dinner prepared. We barely get the kids fed. We don't eat dinner.
Let me tell you,
the descriptor was also hearkening another time that I'd rather not go back to.
I don't That's even right. know how you were able to notice she was in a kitchen because I was so incredibly distracted by what I was watching, right? And I mean, the only thing that worried me about her being in a kitchen is that she had knives so close by. Because I thought she could go Chucky on me at any time. You know, when she started, it was giving me like a Real Housewives Confessional vibe.
It was very sad.
And then it went from Real Housewives Confessional having a, you know, breakdown to Sybil, the movie from 76 about a lady with multiple personality disorder. And I'm thinking to myself, this lady shouldn't be in a kitchen. She should be in a padded room.
Let me just say this.
Hit it.
You know, it was giving like she wanted to call the manager on America. You know what I mean?
Karen.
It was giving that to me.
That.
For
you
me.
Can't say Karen one.
Yeah. No, you can't say that.
Why not?
So it was giving me fragility. It was giving me those tears that are often weaponized. It was giving me what the young people are calling the trad wife or the trad woman, the traditional woman from the 40s or the 50s that was the homemaker. And I think a man made that decision. I think a Republican man realized, you know what? The whole DeSantis, like, angry man thing didn't work.
Yeah, Sonny, but she's a damn senator.
In the kitchen.
You know, she's a woman and she's a senator.
She went along with it.
Said
what? Republican
but do you know what a male senator would give the response?
One at a time.
Who's from the South here? Is any Southerners? Bless his heart is not a nice thing to say.
No, it's not.
And that's how she ended. So if you can't say
what's
certain
wrong
things,
with bless his heart?
It doesn't mean what it sounds like.
It doesn't mean, my father's from Georgia. I think she
got the days of the week wrong. I think she thought it was Sunday and it was the Oscars.
Well, the acting was really deplorable. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
And I think they're entirely correct. That decision was made by a man. And doing it on, International Women's Day Eve, that. And I picked up some Life cereal ad energy off of it. I don't want to give the State of the Union. You give the State of the Union. I don't want to give the State of the Union. You give the State of the Union. Hey, let's get Katie. She'll say anything. And here we are. But here is another distinction. Why her? Why? Not just why Katie Britt. And I haven't seen this question asked today, so maybe I'm just entirely wrong, or maybe we're back out in front of the curve again where we live. Why did Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, stand? Hell, monkey up DeSantis, governor of Florida. They could have zoomied Greg Aspott in there, and he could have. But they've got a woman problem, and they know they do. And honestly, when Joe Biden said they took away a woman's right to reproductive freedom, and they're proud of it, my God. What other freedoms would they take away? Well, I was sitting here, and it's like you'll see in discussion posts, you'll see the little brackets, and you know, a trans person has entered the room. What other rights will they take away, Joe? Oh, I think I know, because they're already trying. But here's my question. Nitwit Nero is. And there's no sense in saying otherwise. Nitwit Nero is the presumptive nominee for president from the GQP, the maggot party. And as Steve in New York pointed out earlier, I think we're pretty, at this point, we're pretty much done with the distinction between MAGA Republicans and Republicans. It's all just the maggot party. Because they've all shown that they'll bow and scrape and kiss his orange ass. Because they're scared of him. Well, we've had that discussion. But I'm going to get to the question. Why? When you already know who your nominee is going to be, and that person has already been president of the United States once, and is running to become the only other president besides Grover Cleveland ever to be president twice in non-successive terms, why didn't they have Nitwit Nero give the response? That's kind of occupied my thoughts all day long. Why didn't they give? Because he would have leapt at the chance, right? The moment was tailor-made for him. Why didn't they say, it's yours. You go for it, Orange Julius Geezer. And you and I both know the answer. Because they knew he'd go to pieces. They knew that even with a script and a teleprompter, given what they've seen lately, that Nitwit Nero would finish the destruction of the maggot party with his response. Because, among other things, the dichotomy between Trump and Biden would have been, well, there would have been no questions left. Biden was fierce. Last night, Joe Biden was in the moment. Joe Biden was the president we desperately needed, hell, in 2016. Joe Biden was the man who, as president, could have kept a million American citizens from dying from COVID. And I don't feel like that's speculative, because we had stopped COVID once before with his former boss, Barack Obama. And if they had let Nitwit Nero give that address, we would be sitting here, right now, 29 minutes into the program on this Friday on the front porch, hailing Todd for the genius he obviously is. Because in that moment last night, had they allowed Nitwit Nero to give the Republican response, he wouldn't have made it, man. He wouldn't have made it. He's not going to make it. I'm upping my bet with my bookie in London to $10 from $5 that he ain't going to make it. Kiss his orange ass. Matt says, better bring a lunch, because that's an all-day job. Oh, and a bucket. Sorry. But isn't that... You think I'm wrong? I don't think I'm wrong. It would have been over before it started. Hell, it might have been the moment that put him into that wheelchair with the plaid blankie and the bib around his neck and the oatmeal drool. Nitwit Nero. I generally consider myself too much of a political realist, grown up, to get all fangirly about a politician. But I did. It was so, I mean, even in his righteous anger, it was so comforting to see a man who very clearly was in charge and competent and up to the task. He took that maggot ad that's running, the mortality ad, and tore it up in front and threw it in their faces. What he was doing during the State of the Union was live-triping it. He was trying to fact-check Joe Biden, Nitwit Nero was. When President Biden said the pandemic no longer controls our lives and the vaccines saved us from COVID are now being used to help beat cancer, well, Nitwit Nero got on Tripe Social and triped, "You're welcome, Joe. 9-month approval time versus 12 years it would have taken you." Well, by giving tacit approval to the vaccines, Alex Jones got pissed. "I love Trump, but this is BS. The so-called vaccine is a biological weapon. Good news is people are awake and not even 45 can sell it." And then some other anti-vax blatherer said, "The amount of anger I have over this can't be quantified in words." Another said, "He needs to get off this. It's a bad tactic." And some alleged doctor said, "His ego's too big to admit he got played." The thread went on and on and on under Alex Jones's comment over, well, the excrement he posted on X. "We'll never get accountability, and it really pisses me off. What the hell? I'm so confused by this. I thought the vaccine was causing cancer." Well, you better go and rub your gums with some aardvark antifungal there, COVID-iot. Van Jones, who has had his moments in the past, Matt, by the way, Truth Social. I'm wondering, did the site actually crash, or did Nunez pull the plug so 45 wouldn't self-destruct? You have a point. What's that? Message from Reverbo? "So why haven't any Repiglicans thrown him out the door? He's an obscene, bloviated gas bag who knows nothing about politics. It's so baffling." That sounds like Alex Jones. Because what was the line you used yesterday, Reverbo? The money was just too good. But Van Jones got in on the act and offered up his own withering analysis.
Really? really powerful, and they take credit a lot for pushing out messages of Joe Biden, which led to his very low approval ratings. So the merging of the RNC and the Trump campaign, I think, is a win-win for Donald Trump. And the goal also is to encourage and support and help fund these Republicans down ballot.
Yeah, let's talk about the flip side when we're talking about money, Van. Mm-hmm. The Trump Biden's team is saying that the hours around the State of the Union speech last night, his campaign had its best online fundraising since the re-election launch.
Yep.
What that gets to is grassroots voters. What do you think that means?
That means he was fired up, and he fired up the base, and the base was nervous. I got a lot of text messages. I hope he does okay. I hope he doesn't embarrass himself, blah, blah, blah. And Joe Biden put his chest out last night. He was directly challenging Republicans, and Republicans were getting schooled by Grandpa. They sat back. They there were a couple of times we talked about. He was like, "Don't you guys want to give a text to these billionaires?" There was a silence. So he was in command. He was a commander in chief. He was definitely the commander of that body, and people responded.
Alice, you were not impressed with the speech. I was listening. You were up late. We both of you were up late last night talking about this.
The only people not impressed with the speech were the people who are paid not to be impressed with the speech. But Van Jones is right about the getting schooled by Grandpa. It reminds me of something that the brilliant comedian Eliza Schlesinger once said in one of her specials. She said, "I love my grandpa. We'd be there on holidays and get to the afternoon and all the activities and excitement were over. And Grandpa would be snoozing in his easy chair. And we kids would have fun. We'd put like Christmas bows on his head and hands and stuff and take pictures and say, 'Oh, our grandpa is so cute.'" And then she completely changed attitude and said, "Grandpa's got 52 confirmed kills." The man that addressed the nation last night is a man who has devoted his life and his considerable mind to understanding the world in which he lives. And not just understanding it, but succeeding in it. He gets foreign policy in a way that virtually no other potential president could, because he has been steeped in it. And when he looked at Lake and Riley's parents and said, I understand what it means to grieve when you lose a child, because I have. That hit. Oh, that hit. And Marge Sporkfoot? Wow. She showed up in her clown gender maggot cosplay costume and really was not up to the task. And the call and response that he engaged, he did some of it last year. This year, he did a lot of it. And what, don't you want to give tax cuts to billionaires? What? And they were as silent as a graven image. And oh my heavenly days, calling out the Supreme Court to their faces, the men on the Supreme Court, because of course the handmaid wasn't allowed to, I'm sure her husband didn't allow her to be there. Or maybe the boys are mad at her for siding a little bit with the ladies on the court in regard to Trump's ballot access case and concurring and dissenting in part from their concurrence instead of being a good handmaid and following the lead of the men. But when he said the Supreme Court wrote in Dobbs that women have political and economic power, and you're about to find out. Whew. I wonder if Sammy Bad Breath sat there shaking his head like a horse on PCP. Again. Katie Pritt. Under President Biden, the tax on wine coolers and au pair food has gone up 15%. Oh my God, you guys, are you cereal? Thank you, Emilio. I mean, you all know, I struggle with my voice. But Katie, I know she doesn't sound like that in the real world. Over at the Washington Post, Alexandra Petrie, who is hilarious, said she's waiting for the Katie Britt horror movie. People are comparing it to Get Out.
Fella moms, if you're like me, you lie awake at 2 a.m. wondering how you can be in three places at once. This kitchen, the Senate, and the opening monologue of a Purge movie. Remember, we are steeped in the blood of patriots.
And the whole column is in.
Don't go in the kitchen. No one has dared remove me because I'm speaking in a tone that makes the prospect of interrupting me too frightening.
She said, the fake Brit's attempt to assuage the fears of viewers is about as soothing as a phone call from Freddy Krueger to let you know, I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
You might have heard some scary things about in vitro fertilization, but I'm proud to tell you with a twinkle in my eye that it is still legal.
And then finally,
this isn't chilling, it's folksy. Moms, get into the arena. You are soaked in blood.
Zombie patriots. Matt in San Francisco says that call and response was some Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope level shit. Yes, it was. And the funny thing is, they knew exactly where to hit the maggots. And they were able to, his speechwriters were able to predict exactly the inflection points where President Biden could then, in turn, roast them on a spit. Ralph's just sent me something from New York Magazine. The Intelligencer, Ed Kilgore. Katie Britt's America sounds scary, but not as scary as Katie Britt. And, of course, it's worth noting that he never said Trump's name once. My predecessor. Oh, okay. That you're right. Makes sense. Darlene in Connecticut said they get a copy of the speech ahead of time, the Supremes do. So actually, Alito, Thomas, and the handmaid were too chicken shit to show up, Roxanne. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. They knew they were going to get roasted. New York, Well, yeah, so soaked in blood, since when is that a good thing, asked Steve in New York. And it's not, but the thing is, she had to send out the verbal code to let the guy that she hopes will nominate her to be vice president know that she's down with, remember it, American carnage. And the American carnage agenda. America, a vast hellscape of rampaging migrants, blighted communities, and terrified, impoverished white families. Yashar Ali said over on the web platform formerly known as Twitter, I've watched thousands of hours of political videos in the past 20 years, and I've never seen anything like Senator Katie Britt's rebuttal to the State of the Union. And look, the things I've learned in the realm of really seriously, this is professional broadcasting. This is not for prurient purposes, and it's not meant to drag the program into the gutter. But within the realm of sexual fantasies and kinks, there is a genre. And it's troubling to some women. The nice term for them is non-consent fantasies. We'll leave it at that. When Katie Britt started talking about rape, that was probably the moment that when I wanted to make sure that every light in the house was on, and maybe add a couple more, you know, just for the shadowy corners, because she really, really seemed to enjoy that portion of her script. But they did learn one thing from Elsie Stupidnik earlier in the week. They learned not to ask if you're better off than you were 4 years ago, because Elsie got absolutely dog-walked over that. So instead, they had Stepford Katie say, are you better off than you were 3 years ago? Well, yeah. Tatums, yeah. Because 3 years ago, we still had the pandemic. Silly woman. And I mean, we could spend the rest of the evening just on Katie Britt clips. And I've got a few of them here. And they are some doozies. One guy posted saying, I'm just dying over the intense delivery of every single syllable here.
Meanwhile, the Chinese Communist Party is undercutting America's workers. China is buying up our farmland, spying on our military installations, and spreading propaganda through the likes of TikTok. You see, the CCP knows that if it conquers the minds of our next generation, it conquers America. And what does President Biden do? Well, he bans TikTok for government employees, but creates an account for his own campaign. Y'all, you can't make...
Y'all. And then the it's like they crafted this speech and gave her her stage direction to do some sort of weird hypnosis ASMR thing.
We hear you, and we stand with you. I know. You're frustrated.
At one point, I expected her to say, "We come in peace." There, Orioles fan. There is an obligatory Star Trek reference for this Friday on the front porch. But see, I mean, it's... It's exactly what I said. We've talked about the substance of Joe Biden's speech. But mostly, and this is my fault, but it's like... I don't... It's like a slow-moving train wreck, Katie Britt. Steve in New York asking, Republican rebuttals, isn't that normally where bright political futures go to die? Steve, it's where we find out that people who think they're presidential timber are actually fucking toothpicks. And, Matt in San Francisco says, Katie Britt, my chai latte at Starbucks the other day was made by a brown person. My chai latte, y'all, at Starbucks the other day was made by a brown person. A brown person. We hear you. I know. That's yours, man. Migrant crime wave? Matt notes, seriously? This one just baffles me. Simple logic dictates. The least likely person to commit a crime is a person who has migrated here without proper documentation. Do they really think someone is going to pay a coyote or cartel thousands of dollars in order to get to the United States so they can get caught stealing makeup at Walgreens? I know. I veered off the Trump road when I started with logic. But at least you have the perspicacity to recognize that you veered. So you've got that going on for you, Matt, which is good. And Matt adds, I just couldn't stop thinking about how many times she sat in front of a mirror practicing her delivery. Probably at least 100. Until she thought, nailed it. Reminds me of John Wayne in his cameo role in that awful little flick, The Greatest Story Ever Told, with an all-star cast, where he played the Roman centurion at the foot of the cross. And he only had one line, the Duke. Surely this man was the Son of God. Cut! Hey, Duke, you got it? It's great. You look fantastic. You were made for the role, baby. But could you? We're gonna do another take. No, after you've had a cigarette, sure. Yeah. 5 minute break. 5 minute break, people. But when you come back from your break, Duke, I wanna see all that energy again. I just need more. I mean, this is Jesus up there. I wanna see more awe in it. So Duke goes and hot boxes a half a pack of Marlboro Reds. Comes back. Mark! Quick. Action! Oh, surely this man was the Son of God. More awe. The old ones that stay with you are some of them. They stay because they're so good. Aw. And that's her. In front of the mirror, Matt. Did they... is it me, or did they not... I keep... You know, I've watched these videos and such... And why they put her in green? With her little sparkle cross. It's almost like they didn't want to let her wear any makeup. Because for the most part, she just had tanning bed vibes. And all this on International Women's Day. By the way, thank you. Thank you to those of you who have wished me a happy International Women's Day. It means a lot. One friend of mine wrote and said, it's so good to have you home these last few years. It really touched me. Aunt Lee in New York said, before I forget, happy International Women's Day. Aborted uploads are not the only abortions that government has no business in. Thank you, Lee. Okay, I gotta do a little rearranging here. My water bottle's in the way of the cowbell. But thank you, Lee. And to all of the women in the Horn Family Community Congregation, happy International Women's Day. There's still far too many places on this planet where it is neither safe nor desirable to be a woman. A reminder, there is one factor that you can apply to any country on earth that is more determinative of whether people live happy and prosperous lives than any other factor. And that one factor is access to reproductive care, which includes abortion. That one factor, because it goes to the heart of women's rights, is more effective in telling you whether or not people in that country, male and female and non-binary alike, are happy than any other. And what does that say about the maggot states, the Confederacy? Rebuttal lady, Steve in New York, says she has an eerie Michelle Bachman feel to her. We just haven't seen the photograph of her husband filleting a corn dog at the Minnesota State Fair yet, though. She was creepy as hell. And the funny thing is, there were puff pieces praising her practicality that I've read in the last couple of weeks, before it was even announced that she would give the rebuttal. Well, that bad ship has sailed and sunk. Obligatory Star Trek reference, Lee in New York says, so you do not have to look too hard. She sounded as intelligent as the woman from Spock's brain. Brain and brain? What is brain? Lee said, tried to give you one. Well, so thank you for that, Lee. We have met our requisite obligatory Star Trek reference for this evening, and we've got one to catch up. We need two more, I think, in order to satisfy the Keebler elves. Emilio, if Patty Hearst were alive, she would have made a better response. And even if she's not, she still would. So here we are. Oh, wait. David the Blind, from the United States Senate to an Orion slave pen. Okay, we've only got one more to go. If that was happening with fundraising, we'd be really knocking it out of the park now. But we've got $275 to go to finish last Tuesday's fundraising, and then nine more to go to finish the week. That's $1,175 is the Friday on the Front Porch community-made miracle number. And here, in having entered the second hour of the program, we are still a goose egg. From the United States Senate to an Orion slave pen, Dave. The Republican response was nothing short of miraculous that the slave masters of Orion didn't cull her from the herd. This woman is simply attempting to become the next Mrs. Trump, not vice president, but the next Mrs. The folks on the riser are preparing the Republican dungeon, and the Democrats are raffling off joke tokens, showing it with Nitwit Nero in an impassioned embrace with himself, your buddy Dave and the Blind. P.S. Biden rocked last night. I should be that energetic at his age. Take that, dipshit Donnie. I kind of felt the same. I'll call it a win if I'm even here at his age, let alone being that sharp. But the fact that the maggots so thoroughly fixate on his stutter, when his stutter has been a known reality in American politics for 50-plus years, that says something about how maggots feel about the disabled community, or the disability community, or the differently abled community. And so many members of our community here deal with disabilities and differently abledness. That I assume that it must be glaringly obvious at this point that the similarities between the Maggot Party in 2024 and the NSDAP in 1933 aren't mere superficialities. Katie Britt, you know, remember, she's the junior senator from Alabama. Alabama recently tortured a man to death by suffocation. And as I saw her speak, I thought about that execution. You know, the Buckeye State wants to start suffocating people to death because taking 13 minutes to do that, or was it more, apparently really gets Republicans off. I mean, it's like having their own potential snuff film. And I can just hear Katie Britt saying, "There, there, honey. There, there. Just be still. Mama's going to put the pillow over your head now. It's all right. Don't you flop around. It's okay. Mama's just killing you, honey, because you need to die. Because we're all soaked in blood."
Whoa! Oh! Woo!
I didn't know that was going to do that to me. This is another one of those I'm glad we don't do video here moments, because my body is nothing but goosebumps right now.
You just lay back, baby. Y'all? Mama has to bind your hands behind your back now. Mama won't let it hurt. In a minute it'll all be, well, 13 minutes, it'll all be over. Breathe the sweet, sweet nitrogen, honey.
Ah! Ron and Raleigh with a note. Marlboro Reds. A little trivia about Marlboro Reds. They were first marketed as a women's brand in the 1920s. The red band was designed to hide lipstick stains. Orion women weren't the slaves. They used their pheromones to enthrall their men. They are seductive to draw men into their trap. We appreciate the correction. But yeah, I actually knew that. My theater professor back a million years ago when I rode my dinosaur to the theater told us that as a story about the power of marketing. Marlboro Reds were flopping with women, but they changed it to a manly cigarette and created the Marlboro Man, and away they went. Thanks, Ron. Matt, from the United States Senate to an Orion slave pen. Oh, Dave, Matt says, that's like an opening line to a Pulitzer Prize-winning novel. That's better than a great translucent powder that holds my flawless makeup in place. $25 to the horn tip jar. Oh, thank you, Matt. And it is. That's for both of you. And especially, and as well, for the great translucent powder that holds my flawless makeup in place. I finally found one that I like. The theatrical stuff isn't bad, but it's theatrical stuff. I went looking for, because I thought I found one by, who was it? Tarte. But their compact went all to pieces, so I just bought a jar of the regular stuff. And Fenty Beauty, this is a translucent powder, setting powder, in shade Lavender 01. And once, Matt, once you've got it on there, well, you'll be Matt, for starters. I'm giving that one to me. Matt for Matt. And it ain't going nowhere. And if you put on a layer of setting spray atop of it, you're good for a couple of days sometimes. Just don't sleep on it. And as to setting sprays, the Urban Decay Vitamin C setting spray is heavenly. Just perks you right up. That note coming in from Theo. I should be getting paid for this by SNL, unless they beat me to it. Hey Theo. Having seen Joanne Carducci's brilliant Katie Britt parody online, I wonder if SNL's producers aren't even now making phone calls and waving real money at our beloved JoJo from Jurors while they flog the writer's room inmates to try to better what Joe already did. Don't tell me it isn't a real possibility. I think it could be, yes. The other person, Cecily. Why can't I think of her last name? Oh, my goodness. Stephen, thank you. We just got to have a show on me. This means that that existential bill that's due by Tuesday will be paid this evening. And so we are now down to, let's see, 1150. We're down to 850, which means that we are fully funded for Monday and Tuesday and $50 of this past prayer meeting Wednesday. So $250 gets Wednesday funded, and then, I don't know, maybe there's a miracle out there. Thank you so much. Matt asked, is the actress who played Carrie's mom still available for the SNL spoof of Katie Britt? I don't know if she is or not, but damn, that would be... Is Faye Dunaway still a going concern? Or anyone who can do it. Yes, Cecily Strong. Thank you, Matt. She would be great as Katie Britt. But wouldn't a... Work with me here. Wouldn't a send-up of Katie Britt that involved a send-up of Mommy Dearest be just about tone perfect? Don't fuck with me, fellas. Don't fuck with me, y'all. That just makes me happy. Okay, we're catching up with our obligatory Star Trek references. Orioles fan, please let the Keyboard Elves know. We should be even for the week now. My Star Trek Picard quote from Ralphs: if we want to save the future, then we have to repair the past. It's not a great Picard, but it's an okay Picard. A little slack, please. So here we are at the end of the second hour of the program. Oh, come on, Brother Deacon. You uploaded the wrong file twice. It's an hour and 59 minutes. God damn it. Hold on. Son of a... Okay, now I'm really beginning to think, and I'm just going to have to do a deep dive on this after the program. Oh, you get back up here. There. Okay, scroll down. 7, March. Properties. Okay, I'm completely bamboozled here. I'm going to check it out after the program, but I'm beginning to think there's something. Just let me try to explain this. I double record the program. I record it on two separate iterations of our streaming interface because we used to send two streams. Now we only send one, but that way if one goes sideways, I've got the other. And this is driving me bananas. Because this is the original file that came from the interfaces, and they're both... March 7, 2024. March 7, 2024A. I got nothing. It's just bizarre. Matt, oh my God, Roxanne, Mommy Dearest, yes, the entire reason she didn't want wire hangers was abortion related. You're genius. Every now and then, blind hog finds an acorn. Okay, and Ralph's telling me the other 7 March show is listed at 2 hours and 54 minutes. Yesterday, this is a total screw-up. And now I am doing night baseball. But when I go to Podbean to do the upload, all the other podcasting platforms pick up from the Podbean feed, unless Brother Deacon tells me otherwise, Asa tells me otherwise. And so when I have to replace one, I delete the old file, but I delete the post, but the old audio file tends to remain up. In which case, when I go to upload the correct file, it says, do you want to overwrite, the same file name still exists, do you want to overwrite it? And I click yes. You know, from time to time I've thought, you know, it'd be fun to be one of those IT trans girls. And then I realize in moments like this, no, I don't want to be. And we will get into it, because the other fact, the other aspect of the State of the Union, and if we could go ahead and connect for the front porch now, that would be awesome. The other aspect of the State of the Union was, of course, Mullah Moses Mike. Yeah, Mike, could you, resend your Mullah Moses Mike comment, pretty please? I appreciate it. Did anyone report on that one heckler who said Marines, burger, 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 burger? Oh, that's it. Yeah. You did repeat. I'm sorry. I'm a little dippy today, Micah. Mullah Moses Mike was so butthurt his kid got a text alert. Ah! Oh, the cowbells are really ringing today. That's quality. Okay, just a second. March 8th? There's a March 8th? Did I put the 8th on the phone? God damn it. I promise I'll get it all sorted out after the program. This is just twisted. This is March 8th. I'm looking at two different calendars. This is definitely March 8th. Getting brain worms over this. But at any rate, let's go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler elves and check in. Lou says, it's best to avoid tangling with the John Wayne Law Group. Perhaps posting the wrong shows relates to the elves and their displeasure. Tsk, tsk, tsk. As to the maggots, knowledge, sir, should be free to all. Harvey Mudd to Spock in I, Mudd. We're definitely caught up. And any that we may have missed previously were caught up. Okay, over the river, through the woods, Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Hey, y'all. Wait a minute. Okay. Did I hear you squeaky? Anybody?
I'm here.
Okay. Hey, Roger.
Hi.
I'm here.
Hey, Squeaky.
Was doing a few other things, and Jeremy started to call, and I had to dig through several open pages to figure out how to answer. But anyhow, we're up and running.
Good, good, good. Let's see. I got a note from Haley in Arkansas. Katie Britt. I did not watch the State of the Union speech on TV last night, but listened on the radio after nearly forgetting it was supposed to be on. I had to be at work early this morning, so went to bed after Biden spoke and missed hashtag Kitchen Katie's gooey tirade. I'll have to watch both later. Haley, honey, turn all the lights on. Like I said, turn all the lights on and have a bucket nearby. And maybe a blankie or a whoobie of some sort. Because she's terrifying. And by the way, Jessica up in the greater Rochester co-prosperity sphere said, thank the fucking goddess today's shitty work day's over. Nothing like having two patients and a family member question your aptitude and competency in fucking executing the duties of your job. But hoping the rest of the Horn family congregation is having a better day than me. Jessica, I hope your day gets better. Now that it's done. And, thank you, Dave and the blind. We are now down to 840 to go to catch up for the week. Christine heads for Chicago again on Sunday. She'll be gone, by the way, in honor of President Biden. I had vanilla ice cream with Hershey's chocolate sauce last night. Normally, I'm a Rocky Road man myself, but hey, I had to do with what I had about the place. I get that. Well, wish Godspeed, following seas, a tailwind, and safe travels to Miss Christine, and tell her that she goes with all our love, Dave. All right. So, like I said, we really having look. Hashtag Kitchen Katie, hashtag Stepford Katie really did kind of steal the show last night. But anybody want to offer up any opinions? And by the way, if you've never been in Friday on the Front Porch before, you're welcome to join in. Remember, the stress line works too, 844-843-4676. I don't usually conjure people, but Todd, if you're out there, you need to be in this one. Use the stress line, 844-843-4676. And, what I was saying is we welcome new voices, and since Kitchen Katie really did steal the show, we need to give Mulla Mike his due. Did you say something, Kevin?
No, I didn't, but, hi.
Hey, you sound a little far away.
How about now?
Okay, you're better, yeah.
Why the hang up in the speech about the word illegal? The Democrats are fussing about that.
To be fair, I cringed a little bit when I heard that too. But I attribute that, you know, that's one of the things I will attribute to being from another generation. We spent decades referring to people as illegal aliens and only evolved to realize what a nasty, vulgar phrase it is in fairly recent years.
The woke change is undocumented. And the real big thing here is the Republicans love to use the illegal alien number because it has its very bad connotations.
Right, and
the reality is that the vast majority of people coming into this country are requesting asylum, and that's totally legal. They are undocumented, and the Republicans love to continue using the term illegal. And for Biden to use that term illegal, he's committing the first crime of realistic debate, and that is letting the opponent frame the issue.
Precisely.
And so by him using the term illegal, he's conceding the frame that the Republicans work real hard to. You will never catch him saying the Democrat Party. He would call it the Democratic Party, because to use Democrat Party is using the Republicans' bullshit frame. End of rant.
No, I agree with you entirely. And undocumented is the but he was also in that moment he was also dealing with the ravings of Sporkfoot, so I cut him some slack on it, or maybe that's just maybe that's just my privilege showing.
You guys hear me?
Yeah
I cut him a little slack too. I mean, Phil Collins made a song about it, what, 1984? It's no fun to be an illegal alien.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for the earworm, Kevin. Now it's playing in my brain.
Yeah, right. Oh, God.
Not to mention.
Oh, talk about here.
Oh,
it's not the worst hearing a song on the radio in the post office workroom floor, then going out in the loading dock, and then having that song in your head the rest of the day.
Not to mention a large portion of these so-called quote unquote illegal immigrants.
From the front porch.
Didn't you love the crouching?
Brought up the guard.
Didn't you love the crouching Republicans trying to disappear under the seats in this side of the?
Oh, he owned them. He owned them.
Not to mention, a lot of these quote unquote illegal immigrants were legal. They just overstayed their visas, so they still have their paperwork. So it's a catch-all term, which isn't fair.
Right.
In the late 80s, there was a classification by the Immigration Naturalization Service. Oh, God, it just blew out of my brain. It had to do with you had your documents and you're going through the process. Out of status is what it was called. My wife was out of status for a while when the immigration people got pissed off at me and threatened to deport her. We immediately went home, totally cleaned the house of anything that said she was Peruvian, and kept everything in the house that says she was an Uruguayan citizen, which was true and there. But our idea was that if they came with an arrest warrant for a Patricia Meisch Peruvian, we could say, you've got the wrong one. This is Patricia Meisch Uruguayan. And at least fight the incarceration prior to deportation. Even though we were legally married and all the rest of that crap. My experience with the Immigration Naturalization Service was when I first honestly, truly, down in my gut, was no longer proud to be a citizen of the United States. The way she was treated. It's just bullshit.
Also, Biden used that moment to get out in front of him because he knew someone might mention the murdered American by someone who was a legal immigrant, and he had the button with their name on it to shock the hell out of them to say he wasn't just using her as a prop in his pocket.
Yeah, he used
said, "Look here, motherfuckers."
Yeah, he used that to beat Sporkfoot's ass.
Exactly, saying it's not just a prop. I know who I'm talking about.
And that's when he said, "And I know how it hurts because I have lost children." Took all the sting right out of her.
I think Biden not only hit it out of the ballpark, but to get into a typically San Francisco number, he put it right out into McCovey Cove.
Home run.
Yeah. And then when those people came up and I forget who it was. Well, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
The one who first said that was Elsie Stupidnik of New York, and that's why they changed the script for Kitchen Katie to 3 years ago.
Well, that crossed my Facebook script, and I made a post about, the refrigerated trailers outside hospitals because the morgues were filled up, and toilet paper, if a store had it, was rationing it, and 500,000 people had already died. I just went through the whole long list, and a respondent came back with, "What a bunch of fucking word salad." And it was all true. I went out and did the Google search on COVID-related issues in March of 2000. And there was the whole long list about the mask shortage, the PPE shortage, the refrigerated trucks, the beginnings of the shutting down of schools and shutting down of businesses, and the number of people dying every day and the number of cases in the hospitals and the number of hospitals that their ICUs were full up. And I mean, the whole long list of all the crap that was going on in late March. You know, I realize I was comparing it to early March, but it was all there. And you go back and look at what a disaster this country was in 4 years ago. It's amazing to, you know, maybe I've got a shorter memory now because of my age than anybody else, but I remember how bad it was. I mean, I haven't had a haircut since we got back from South America, and that was in January of 2000.
Well, the pandemic was so bad it trans me, Roger.
Well, sorry, Robin.
I said the pandemic was so bad it transed me.
All right, give yourself a cowbell.
And not to,
sorry, even, Rick, to take your job over, but sorry, but you weren't here to pipe in.
Even if you gave her or gave them the extra year, it took away the four and said three. Even 3 years ago, we were still losing between a 9/11 and a 9/11 and a half days worth of people every fucking day for the total year. It wasn't a lot different.
No.
It's a lot different. Yes, moving on now, it's way different. Things are completely different. Although the pandemic is still here, and not too long ago, we crossed the number of another 200,000 dead, climbing towards 2 million. We'll get there eventually. People are dumb.
Well, you're right, and it's just in one of those goddess of irony moments there, Jeremy. I just ran across a headline from an outlet here in West Virginia. West Virginia hospitals grapple with staffing shortages amid COVID-19 aftermath. And I imagine that's not West Virginia specific. I suspect that, and back when I went to Alabama, surgery, at one point in time, UAB, and this is so wild, also at one point in time, UAB and Alabama had become a haven for people pursuing gender-affirming care. That's why I went there. And at that time, they had a fully staffed, fully trained segment of the hospital that was just people coming through for SRS. And all the nursing staff, all the support personnel, the CNAs, the maintenance folks, all knew to get pronouns right, to refer to people appropriately. And it was a huge selling point. But by the time I got there, it was any staff they could staff that unit with, and most of them were travel nurses.
Last summer, last fall, most hospitals were still under COVID protocol, still wearing masks and stuff like that. And I realized that 20 years working on my feet basically killed the veins in my legs. Short-term story, I have to wear compression socks now. But my feet swole up, my legs swole up, they're sore, they're red, they're tender, almost like an allergic reaction. And when I got to the hospital, you put on the mask and had all your shots, yep, proved it. You ever had any symptoms? No. Okay, well, come with us. And we walked down a couple different hallways, through one set of secured doors, through a second set of secured doors, through a third set of secured doors. And as I walked in, I hear beeping, and I hear oxygen machines. And I thought to myself, oh, fuck, this is a COVID wing. They think I have COVID.
Oh, Jeremy.
I left fine, but I looked around and I realized I could hear people coughing, people wheezing. I'm like, oh, fuck, they think I have it. I'm in with these people, the sick people. Luckily, I walked out never catching it, but I knew what it was when I was there.
Well, I just got a notification. Well, actually, my wife got it, but because of our age, the Albertsons Pharmacy has gotten in touch with us and says it's time to come in for another COVID shot. So she's making the appointment, and we'll go get another shot.
Is this the same? Is it still the same formulation, Roger?
I'm not sure whether this is a new formulation from the last one I got, because I haven't been looking up. but it wouldn't surprise me. I'd have to look up when my last shot was. I don't carry the card in my wallet anymore. I could look on my phone and find him there. Give me a minute, and I'll tell you how long it's been and all the rest of that stuff, and I'll look up and see if they've reformulated in the months since my last one.
Oh, and by the way, going back to Biden's use of illegal, Matt in San Francisco with what I think is a good observation, I attributed it to him simply parroting back to Marjorie what she was yelling. I don't think he uses that term in normal conversation. I want to agree with that. I want to think that's probably, that makes better sense than anything else. Thank you for that, Matt. And, well, because God knows she was yelling. But but again, I want to talk about Mullah Moses Mike. He was the incredible shrinking hobbit speaker. He just seemed to get smaller with every word. And that those pursed lips, like he was Gollum trying to hold back a fart. And he was so ill at ease. He kept getting with everything but being name checked. So many of the things, like when he got around to when he was talking about IVF, President Biden talking about having people in Republicans in the Congress who want to end it. That was Mullah Moses Mike he was talking about. And his head got a little lower between his shoulder blades. And I'd be surprised if he and his prayerful wife, who spends all that time on her knees praying, I'd be surprised if they can, at this point in time, if they can even engage in anything that would require a notification to go to his son on their shared porn accountability app, because he got unmanned last night. And Matt, are you better off than 4 years ago? Matt said, well, I'm not wiping my ass with a newspaper, so yeah, much better. Wow, you had a newspaper? We had corn shocks. Oh, it's rough.
The vice president was looking down. He was secretly clapping under the tables, they say.
The speaker, not the vice president.
No, I think.
Yeah, the speaker.
Yeah, the speaker. Yeah.
The vice president could see him doing it. About the only one.
Oh, and she ratted. Oh, wait, she ratted him out, Squeaky.
She smiled at one time, when a couple of times she was smiling and looking up. Oops, I caught him doing it.
I noticed a couple of moments where I thought the vice president was doing a little side eye action at him.
My understanding was there was one shot of a camera that showed that, but he was clapping under the desk. But I didn't catch it. So anyhow, back to the COVID-19. My last shot was on September 9th of last year, and on September 12th, they came out with a new formulation. So this will be a slightly different formulation that I get now than I got last September. The new one has a new variation in it. It has the monovalent XBB.1.5 component, which is meant to broaden the protection against the currently circulating SARS-CoV-2 XBB sublineage variants against severe COVID-19 associated with the illness and death.
And I apologize, Roger, but that came out when?
September 12th, 2023.
Okay, so that's and what I last, that, so that's what I got.
My last shot was on September 9th, 2023.
Okay, so that's definitely the one I got.
My wife is caught up on flu and COVID, but I'm not. I don't go out very often, and we now have to schedule way ahead on Kaiser.
And this information comes from the CDC.gov website. So I trust my source.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, oh, God, when did I get it? What was it? December, maybe? So I should be good through, like, May, I guess? By the way, Mullah Mike, Matt says, he reminded me of what you do when you're at a concert. Oh, Matt, I hope it's not an air supply concert. And someone needs to pass you to get to their seat, and the seats are so close together you can't even stand, so you try to make yourself smaller in your seat. Yeah, I'm sitting here doing it right now, you know, where you press back against the seat and you kind of pull your knees together and swing them over to one side. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what he looked like all night long. And if he was clapping under the desk, you know, hoping the president could hear him, and that actually got out that he was doing that, Marge is going to wave that old mayonnaise jar that has his testicles in them that she pulled out of the back of the refrigerator next to the pint jars of pee-pee. Be a real shame if something happened to your mayonnaise jar there, Mikey.
He looks like he doesn't care anymore about what his fellow Republicans do to him. You know what I mean? He's got that. Oh, it happens.
That he's got that 100-yard stare.
Now, one
he part
just
knows
of the
if he screws up. Right, go ahead.
One part of the budget's been passed through September. The other part has to be done by the 22nd of March.
He just knows if he screws up, Marjorie's got his number and will remove his power.
Well, the vote for Speaker might be kind of interesting because maybe some of the Republicans that are deciding to bail out of the Congress might vote for Hakeem Jeffries.
That makes sense.
And that could be real interesting with if Hakeem Jeffries managed to take it on the first ballot, all of a sudden there'd be a Democratic speaker and a lot of shit could be coming to the floor real quick. In particular, the Ukrainian aid and that immigration bill, all kinds of stuff could happen. And I don't think Marjorie could be tamed and convinced not to bring it up if she got her little mind into it that she wanted to fuck over the Congress one more time before she gets defeated in her election. Anyhow, a little bit of food porn. Wife did a Korean dinner last night. Absolutely amazing. Complete with the kimchi and some beans, and she did the marinated Korean ribs that I barbecued. And
oh, damn. Oh, that sounds so good.
It was a fantastic dinner. So, you know, just need a little food porn to
the new acorn is all burned in. The ribs are in the fridge. They have been sitting with the rub on them for a while. It's going to rain tomorrow, so it has to be pushed back to Sunday to smoke them. So tomorrow, after having had the rub on them for more than a day, they're going to go into the brine bath with the other spices, and the sauerbraten is marinating happily. I turned it again today.
And then I think toward the end of this week, we're going to be hanging the, I think it's called Copa, which is a seasoning of beef, or is it pork? It's in essence homemade prosciutto that has been in its brine bag and getting massaged every day for, I don't know, it's like 2 weeks in the sealed bag with the curing salts and all the rest of that. And then it gets in a special little netting and is going to hang in the refrigerator out here in the mother-in-law unit for, I think, another 2 weeks to air dry. And it's bag that holds it all together but allows it to dry before it ends up being totally cured. And then, of course, it gets very thinly sliced. And maybe I'll discover how to make some decent sourdough bread. And
discover? I thought you already had that one nailed.
No, I still can't quite get the rising correct. It tastes great, but I don't get the big air bubbles in it. I only get little tiny ones. But I like it for morning bread, you know, toast with my tea in the morning for my breakfast, but the wife doesn't like the crumb in it. So I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing wrong.
More kneading, perhaps? Go ahead, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
So did anyone else catch? Let me start over. Did anyone else catch today that in a UK court, Trump had a bad day? He was ordered to pay Orbis, which is the guy.
That's Christopher Steele. Yeah.
His company, close to $500,000.
Yeah, I had actually penalties. I had that yesterday.
Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. No worries. Yeah.
So in that same vein, apparently some financial house or something is putting up the bond for Trump's $500 million.
Chubb out of Switzerland.
Who's squeaky?
Chubb Bank out of Switzerland. Oh. But they have deep Russian roots.
Oh, of course. Oh, y'all might get a kick out of this. Apparently, over on my Filthy Morning Habit, Jehoshaphat has learned a new word. The password is tradwife. This is fun.
In the 2022 elections, we've seen it in any special elections that there have been between then and now, and I am pretty confident that we will see it again in 2024. This is a huge issue. This is a dog that caught the bus issue for Republicans. And I think you could confidently predict that by September, October, Donald Trump will be maintaining that he never heard of Roe v. Wade, that he didn't have anything to do with it. It was really these justices and whatever, because he's going to have to run away from it because it's a terrible, terrible issue for them. And Jen Palmieri mentioned the contrast that voters, not just women, but that voters saw last night if they stayed up to watch the Republican response. You had Joe Biden talking about fundamental rights that everyone deserves to have, that women deserve to have as human beings, as Americans. And you had Senator Katie Britt, for some bizarre reason, they decided to stage her in apparently her kitchen, which says a lot about how the Republican Party sees women, and then the sort of overdone affect that she had. One instant she was near tears, the next instant she was smiling, the next instant she was serious, and then she was it was all over the map. Again, I'm not sure that a lot of people stayed up to watch that, but if they did, whoa, that was at the Bobby Jindal level, I think, in terms of responses.
Jen Palmieri, you had said that you followed the online activity, not just of people, not just Democrats, but also conservatives and very conservative people. And you said that there was a sort of a meme they were trying to follow here.
Yeah, there was. Oh, yeah. So there's Charlie Kirk, you know, conservative commentator. He was disappointed in the speech. And then I looked at what his responses were like. And a lot of his and his followers were very unhappy with it. And there's this thing on TikTok in particular called the trad wife, which is a traditional
woman
that very much embraces, you know, stay-at-home mom, great, you know, but presents in a certain way, and I feel like that is sort of the cadence and emotion that she was going for, was to present as like one of these TikTok moms, and you know, Claire McCaskill broadcasts on Morning Joe almost every morning from her kitchen, and it's great, right? You would have no idea that this woman was a United States senator, you know? A Republican man might have done a speech, you know, a response like that from his kitchen, but we would have heard something about being a United States senator and something about governing and something that resembled the truth, and that was just wild. I mean, I have never, and I was sort of reassured to see that even on the right, people were rejecting whatever it was that they were trying to convey about women's place.
Yes, someone who was perceived as a rising star among Republicans, that Donald Trump even potentially on a short list for vice presidential nomination. But I heard from Republicans last night, too, who were just like, that wasn't the right tone, particularly overdramatic, you know, and seemed to be sort of missing a real thesis there, other than to say that the American dream has turned into an American nightmare. That theme of negativity that Republicans have seized upon in recent weeks from Trump and beyond.
It doesn't, the negativity thing doesn't work. Doesn't work when, I mean, America's economy is easily number one in the world. I mean, first time since the 1960s, unemployment's been below 4% for 2 years running. A record number of jobs created over the last 3 years. America's up and running again. Its economy is the envy of the world. Now, listen, if you just stay in your mother's basement and replay MAGA clips, you may not know that. But if you start reading newspapers and listening to people who run other countries across the world, they will tell you America's economy is the envy of the world.
Or if you listen to a little independent liberal progressive broadcast that goes from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Monday through Friday, maybe you might find that out. But, you know, hey, kids, hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Economically, we are crushing China. Economically, we are crushing Russia. And to say the American dream has turned into an American nightmare, yeah, a nightmare. For the communist Chinese. But we don't usually root for them, do we? No, we don't. We're glad we're number one. Say it together with me. USA. We're number one. And I think it was Dizzy Dean who said, it ain't bragging if you can do it. And right now, the United States is doing it.
Ooh, a Dizzy Dean quote.
So all this, I don't understand this. I think everybody on the MAGA side needs to just kind of relax, maybe do some mindfulness, download the Calm app. And in the background, while you're doing your mindfulness, your breathing exercises, okay, you got
okay, a little ASMR going on.
While you're doing that, play Lee Greenwood in the background. Proud to be an American. Makes me tear up every time.
He's getting meer and meer and meer, y'all. See, I do the y'all much better than Katie Britt does. By the way, I just had a note from our anonymous kind internet friend who said, it's Friday, you bastards. Copyright infringement. So I'm putting forth a $100 Biden took names one-for-one doubling challenge. So that means if we can raise $100 in about an hour and 5 minutes, We will get the fundraising deficit down to, for the first full week of March, we will get it down to $640 and avert a Tuesday disaster. And maybe even get it all the way down to 600, and that would just be, that would mean we were fully funded through this past Wednesday, which would be fantastic. Thank you so much, kind internet anonymous friend. The Biden took names one for one doubling challenge, and I cannot thank you enough for that. So, pretty please, if you'd like to see 5 turn into 10 or 10 to 20, 50 to 100, up to $100, here's your chance. Going back to Matt for a moment, if Mullah Mike wasn't clapping under the desk, his son would get a porn alert on his phone. We do love their porn accountability there in the Johnson home, don't we? And the fact that it's the Johnson home makes it extra special, double plus awesome. And so now there's $75 to go on the Biden took names, one for one true doubling challenge. And $75 to go. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. Tradwife. Probably a little. Anybody, there's more than Tradwife going on. I mean, she's a good Christian, so you know there's some hot wifery going on, too. Even in, I'm sorry, what?
It's Kevin.
Hey. Yeah, Kevin.
You throw me in for $50.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you. That leaves $25 to go on the Biden Took Names Challenge. Kevin, that's awesome. I cannot thank you enough. Now, Steve, in New York, let's not be cruel. You know, you kill the fatted calf when the prodigal son comes home. Download the Calm app. Steve said, is this the same guy used to fillet Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist? Well, yeah. Yeah, he was part of the contract on America. There's no getting around that. But what I was going to say is, even down in Talabama, Katie Britt got, well, savaged, dog walked, dragged, and, you know, for good reason. A guy named Kyle Whitmire, who is a very good columnist and writes for AL.com, Kyle Whitmire said, Katie Britt gave up on being her genuine self a while back. Last night it showed, this time in front of millions of Americans. And he said, well, let me just... And again, I don't think there are any major print newspapers in Alabama anymore, except the Times Daily in Florence. There's no more. I was talking with Terry about this the other day. There's no more Mobile Press Register. There's no more Birmingham News. No more Birmingham Post Herald. No more Huntsville Times. No more Gadsden Times. No more Montgomery Advertiser, which was actually a Pulitzer Prize-winning paper. I knew a man who worked for the Advertiser during the struggle for civil rights, who came very near his own Pulitzer. But Kyle Whitmire, it was headlined, is Katie Britt for real? Don't adjust your television. What we saw wasn't an AI deepfake. That was Katie Britt. That speech happened. But don't call it real. The junior senator from Alabama gave up being genuine a while back, and on Thursday night, her phoniness rose to the surface in full view of millions of Americans. There's nothing I can quote from Britt's speech that can convey the strangeness of it, the mismatched emotions, the smiles in the wrong places, the jaw clenched when it shouldn't have been, just the indescribable weirdness. It was something that had to be seen, but even then couldn't be understood, like postmodernism, avant-garde performance art, or an involuntary behavioral science experiment. It was supposed to be a rebuttal to the State of the Union, but the best argument for Britt's success was that after it was over, no one was talking about Joe Biden's speech. And here we are. Great minds. Katie Britt glitched out on national television. I mean, they could have just used Moscow Mitch going, and left millions of Americans asking what the heck they just watched. I mean, honestly, the Massachusetts contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation, the California, Oregon, Washington, Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois, you know, the decent parts of this country. How, I mean, was it like watching an Attenborough documentary for y'all? I mean, I recognized her. I know that. I mean, that's from my cultural milieu. Not that I'm proud of it. But it had to be fucking weird if you're not used to that. Whitmire continued and said, even had she not glitched out, the odds were stacked against her. The rebuttal to the State of the Union has always been a trap for the politically ambitious. It doesn't matter how many bleached bones lie at the bottom of that pit. Oh, he's so good. Someone new will try to jump across when given the chance, a dangerous shortcut to becoming a national political figure, and they'll be impaled at the bottom on its spikes with all the rest somewhere between Bobby Jindal and Marco Rubio's water bottle. Thursday night, it was Britt's turn to try. All she had to do was look into the camera and read, but she tried to do more, too much more. Her handlers attempted to brand this political newcomer as America's mom, but instead she came off as the aunt who's been spending too much time on Facebook, and if you don't change the subject soon, she's going to tell you about sex dungeons beneath the pizza parlor. Oh, Kyle Whitmire. Cowbell, honey. I supposed we should focus on the substance of Britt's speech instead of its delivery, but that too seemed written by ChatGPT.
Let's go to Biden.
What?
Let's go to Biden. Why are we spending so much time on Katie?
Yeah. Because this is hilarious.
It's kind of sick.
I mean, this is coming from her hometown paper, and she is getting absolutely eviscerated. She's getting eviscerated by people in Alabama. Who? And remember, Alabama didn't want Doug Jones for more than a replacement term. Go figure. Steve in New York said, Katie Britt, AI. Oh, geez, AI gets more credit than that. Let's see here.
Well, when I was watching it, Jan was watching it and I was watching it. But when that woman came on, I told Jan, if you do not turn that shit off, I was going to rip the TV off the wall. And I paid for, I said, cause I paid for that TV. And I will rip it off the wall if you do not turn that shit. She's like, well, no, you don't care. Turn the shit off. It was off board.
Hey, Tracy, you're breaking up all over the place.
Oh, the stupid. Hold on. Let's see. It was just terrible. Is that better?
Markedly so.
Okay. I will be calling Bose tomorrow. I don't know if it's just because I hear you guys just fine, but obviously everybody's like, oh, no. So there's something horribly, horribly wrong with my Bluetooth. But anywho, that part. Oh, so how much is left on the challenge, sis?
$25.
Put me down for $25.
Why, thank you, Tracy. Thank you so much. I mean, yeah. So the challenge, the Biden Took Names challenge is complete. Thank you so much. And Brother Deacon Asa said, yeah, the best part was when Biden pulled his pants down at the end and shit all over Miss Lindsay. Yeah, because they knew each other in the Senate, so you know, when you barb somebody that you've known for a while, you know where to sink the hook. And Miss Lindsay got harpooned.
Yeah, Joe had, somebody was like, he had his Wheaties. No, John Brazil said, no, it's oatmeal, because I had grits on the, you know, on the commentating, you know, the multi-million dollar punt. I'm like, he was, I was very proud of him. I was just waiting for Van Jones to come up and say, well, no, that's presidential. That part.
It was.
But when Van Jones said it, he was talking about that, you know, the shit, the orange shit gill. Van Jones used to be somebody that I cared about.
Yeah, I felt bad for him when Obama threw him under the bus over Shirley Sherrod, and that grifter from Project Veritas, who, by the way, you know, I guess he's out of a job now, or he got thrown out of his own, and then, you know, he was crooked. Oh, that's funny. Randy Radar says, I said, did she remind you of a Richard Attenborough documentary? As we watch the pale female Jesus spacer in her own environment, we observe the fluttering vapidness as she desperately tries to divert attention. But of course, Tracy, you're not entirely unfamiliar with the Southern idiom. I mean, you are a native Angeleno and everything, but you got roots.
Roots, not roots, but roots.
Roots, damn Skippy.
No, so I know that, you know, it's not like I was not born and raised in the South, true enough. But my family is from the South. And now I have family who have moved from here to the South. So they've picked up, you know, it was like the stuff that's in our DNA, but we didn't realize it until we're put back in certain situations. And every so often when I talk to my mom and she'll say something, I'm like, where are you from? Please, do not forget where you are from and stuff like that. Because she'll say something, and I'm like, what did you just say? And my brother, too. And it's kind of scary. But then I find myself saying certain things as well and having a certain tone or in my voice. And I'll start talking like this.
They, words get extra syllables.
Extra syllables. And now, oh, by the way, yes, today I got my set of partials. So I am now navigating new teeth and realizing that list that I have worked on for so many years is now kind of back. So I have to practice speaking again, which is really, really fun. But I'm chewing food for real. And it's rather nice to actually be able to chew and not rely solely on my front teeth, you know?
So, yeah,
thank
like,
you.
Like mouthful of cashews kind of situation, pistachios. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, USC School of Dentistry. I'm going to tell everybody, if you need dental work and you do not have, or even if you have, you know, money, go to a dental school. Because, see, their grades depend on how well they do their work. So they take a lot of time and effort to make sure everything everything is good. Because I know I've had partials before, and this is, I've had them on now since 8 o'clock, well, 8:30, 9 o'clock this morning, and I am not in pain.
Hallelujah.
And it doesn't hurt to eat. So that's saying a lot, that part. So anyway, I'm just, I know I can't, I'm late on in the game and all about what you guys were talking about, but I am very, even Jan, who doesn't really talk much about stuff like this, she was even like, well, goddamn, Joe, bring it. I was very proud of our president yesterday.
I forget what maggot platform it was, but, you know, some maggots like, why is he talking so fast?
They had to find something wrong, sis. They had to find something wrong.
It reminds
me. If he talks slow, they'd say, why is he talking so slow?
Right.
Right. And then if you say that, if they ask why is he talking so slow, so the stupid people can understand better.
You know, it reminds me of a story. Everything does. A couple of guys were buddies, and they were and they went out duck hunting a lot. And one guy got a new bird dog, and he was amazed when he took the bird dog out for the first time and was training him and threw the duck decoy out into the lake, you know, floats, and the dog walked on the water out to pick up the duck, and he picked up the duck and walked on the water back. Wasn't even wet. And these two buddies, you know, the other guy was never impressed with anything his friend got or had or did. Always had some way to, you know, derogate. And he says, oh, I got him this time. So the next time they went duck hunting, they're in the blind. And the guy shoots a duck. Duck lands in the water. Guy looks at his buddy and says, watch this. And so his new dog walks out on the water, picks up the duck, and brings it back and drops it at the guy's feet. His buddy says nothing. So the guy says, well, what do you think? And his buddy looks at him and says, your dog can't swim. That's that. Why is he talking so fast? Tough crowd.
Keith Olbermann did a live last night.
I was laughing, Robin. I was just chewing, so I didn't want y'all to hear me chewing. But I was laughing. I thought that shit was funny. So there you go.
Okay, well, thank you.
I laughed, too. You ever saw a cowbell? It was a funny. It was a joke. I got it.
It was a joke.
It was a joke. I'll leave it there. It was funny, but it made me laugh when I had myself muted. I was going to say, Keith Olbermann did a live last night in response to it. On YouTube, and of course he went to what's Fox's thought of this whole speech is, and they said it's detrimental, it's no good, you know, it was weak, it was low, he didn't, you know, blah, blah. Just what do you think they would do with it? Basically, try to trash as much as they can, even though most news organizations said this was the speech of his life.
It was,
if not the speech of his life, yes, definitely. And the one part that I think he hit home with the best of all the things he said was, you can't call yourself a patriot and hate your country on days you lose.
Yeah. That was good.
As Tracy was saying, that part.
It was full of things like that.
Hey, Robin?
Yes.
You check out that essay there by Rick Wilson yesterday. I put it in front of
you. Oh, you put it in the chat?
Yes. Put it in yesterday.
Oh, and yesterday.
What kind of speech Trump would give on the Capitol steps on inauguration day? referendum. It was like a 12-minute leak.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. Really, really good. I mean, he nailed it. He nailed it. Like, it's scary. Just to read it is scary. So, just to tell everybody, it's Eric and Carnage 2, this time it's personal. Just look under that for anybody. Worth a read. Seriously, read it. So Rick Wilson, American Carnage 2, this time it's personal.
Okay, I'll look that up.
Yeah, fictional history of Donald Trump's 2025 inaugural address.
Oh, and by the way, Reverbo said earlier, that's been a winning formula for them. Keep perpetuating the devolved hillbilly image.
Hillbilly image.
Uh-oh. Why did I just echo? Oh, and we mentioned earlier Nitwit Nero finally found a chump, I mean bondsman. And it turns out that it is the federal insurance company authorized to do business in New York. Out of Chesapeake, Virginia, New Jersey, appears to be a subsidiary of Chubb Insurance Company, C-H-U-B-B. Why am I not surprised? And upon the filing, Judge Kaplan entered an order, or a memorandum, I guess, saying, after 10:30 a.m. today, the defendant filed an application to approve a supersedious bond in the amount of $91,630,000 and to stay execution on plaintiff's judgment against the defendant pending appeal. Plaintiff, this is where it's fun, plaintiff shall file any opposition to the motion, including but not limited to the form, the amount, or surety of the proposed bond, or the proposed order, or her consent to the relief sought by defendant's motion, no later than Monday, March 11th, 2024, at 11 a.m. He went on and said, if plaintiff chooses to object, the court will hold a hearing on the issue that same day. What do you want to bet there's an objection? Because I wouldn't, would you trust anybody who would sign an appeal bond for him? I think that would practically be legal malpractice.
The money has to be in the bank.
Or the bond has to be signed, but the bondsman must be solvent enough to cover it when he loses. And that's the thing. He's going to lose. And E. Jean Carroll said earlier today that Nitwit Nero had filed the bond. Jean Carroll said, though the illustrious Robbie Kaplan is strong enough to yank a golden toilet out of the floor at Trump Tower and toss it through the window, this bond saves Robbie the trouble of showing up with the U.S. Marshals on Monday to do so. And then the calculation, he would have to sell more than 200,000 pairs of his golden sneakers at retail to pay the judgment.
Somebody's going to get a write-off somewhere.
Yeah, I think you're right, Squeaky. Oh, and counsel for the parking garage, Alina Habana. She's got one less client today. Trump Organization
Trump
Chief.
Organization.
Why do I get, who's echoing back at me? Trump Organization CFO Alan Weisselberg has officially dumped counsel for the parking garage. He dumped her and picked up Armin Morian of Morgan Law. He filed a motion to change counsel before the case in the civil fraud case docket in Manhattan. A reporter named Eric Ubelacker said he's replacing her with Armin Morian, another Trumpland regular. Morian, who has one extra vowel, otherwise Morian, represented Trump's business entities in the civil fraud case per the docket. But apparently he's better. He's better. He's better than counsel for the parking garage. And at least has more experience. Jesus. Ralph saying, and maybe Alina Havana has been demoted? Well, she's been fired. Last night during the State of the Union, one of the things that President Biden touched on was infrastructure. And one of the aspects of infrastructure that he addressed was lead pipes. And he said that, you know, we're going to replace lead pipes and protect, well, children, well, everyone. And the maggot evangelical Lulu Attorney General of Kansas, Chris Kobach, well, he went on X and posted an excrement saying, Biden wants to replace lead pipes. He failed to mention that the unfunded mandate sets an almost impossible timeline, will cost billions, infringe on the rights of the states and their residents, all for benefits that may be entirely speculative. That's right. Apparently now, lead poisoning is speculative in the maggot party. Go figure.
That's because the science isn't in, Robin, yet. Okay.
No, yeah, the science isn't in. Well, Pete Buttigieg, who is way smarter than Chris Kobach, said, the benefit of not being lead poisoned is not speculative. It is enormous. And because lead poisoning leads to irreversible cognitive harm, massive economic loss, and even higher crime rates, this work represents one of the best returns on public investment ever observed. Sick burn.
That's how Republican voters are made.
Is Chris Kobach getting his medical information from now? I say now because he was demoted after retirement, Captain Ronnie Jackson.
Is he a captain? I was hoping maybe he'd be a lieutenant commander by now.
No, the U.S. Navy knocked him down one rank.
The story I had yesterday, Jeremy, said that the Navy refused to say what rank they demoted him to.
And if you don't know, the sweetness of that is that even in retirement, when you lose rank, it affects your benefits.
Oh, sure.
It was
a $15,000 a year hit to go from rear admiral lower half to captain. And, you know, that's a lot of booze.
Or pills.
Well, he probably gets those from the pharmaceutical reps. And in the Goddess of Irony report for this evening, out in Missouri, Stan, hi, Kenda. Holly Thompson Rader, a maggot from Missouri, a member of the Missouri State Senate, is sponsoring a bill to outlaw child marriage in the state of Missouri. Curiously, just like today, after having been unable and unwilling to do so for a half a century, the maggot legislature of West Virginia grudgingly decided that marital rape will be a crime in West Virginia now, because it used to be perfectly legal for a husband to rape his wife once, if they were married and she didn't want to and he wanted to, so he could just, you know, do as he pleased. Well, Holly Thompson Rader was a child bride herself. She married her 6-year older boyfriend when she was 15 years old. And she said, as I got older, I started realizing I wasn't old enough to make that decision. My life would have been on a much better path had I actually toughed it out, had I stayed in high school, not gotten married, and finished high school. And yet, she's in the Missouri State Senate. And I don't necessarily I don't necessarily know the damn thing will pass, because it would make it illegal to issue a marriage license to anybody under 18 under any circumstances. 16 and 17-year-olds can get married in Missouri with parental consent, but minors can't marry anyone 21 or older. And child marriage was legal in every state in the union until 2017. If this bill passes, it will be one of only, Missouri will be one of only 10 states that have banned child marriage. 8 other states are considering it, and Senator Rader said, seeing a state like Missouri, I mean, you're part of the problem, lady. Seeing a state like Missouri pass a child marriage ban will be not just encouraging to these other states, but will absolutely show, hey, Missouri did it. We can do this, too. I mean, that's sort of textbook damning with faint praise, isn't it? And, of course, the people who oppose child marriage bans are the same people who oppose IVF, are the same people who oppose abortion. And they say that they have to be able to marry off children because of states' rights and religious freedom. Well, one of these days they may get dragged kicking and screaming into the 20th century. I guess it's progress.
But that states' rights doesn't work very well when you want to take an insurgent off the ballot.
Yeah, right. But again, at least that narrow portion of that holding, I still think is correct. Because there's nothing in the 14th Amendment, Section 3, about ballots or elections. It's all about who can serve. The rest of it's a fucked up mess. Yeah, Tracy.
I got a new gig.
Do you now?
Yes. So, there's a organization called Justice Impact Center or what have you, and I've done volunteer work with them. But the person that started the program, she called me the other day. She's like, I want to give you a job. And for now, it's just part-time. But she's like, she's a queer person who was incarcerated. She's like, in her case, she's like, I did that shit. She's hilarious. There's no shame in her game on that one. She's like, look, I sold drugs. I enjoyed it. And I was fucking good at it. And she's like, I would probably still be selling drugs had I not got caught. She's like, it would have been fine had nobody been fucking with my money. I had to go get my money. But all that aside, she's like, there's so many different programs out here to help, people coming back from incarceration or trying to get their records expunged and stuff like that. But a lot of times where they have these programs or these clinics aren't in spaces where people feel safe. Like a church or anywhere near a courthouse or any of these other things. So for now, she's like, tell me how many hours a month you can give me for now, for the next 4 months. And then next month, we're going to the California Endowment Fund, which is their fast pitch where people go, different organizations go to, to beg for money. And she's going to ask for $1 million and she'll probably get it. Because she's like, I want somebody like you to dream. She's like, I don't even know what I'm going to call your position, but I want somebody to come dream with me to build out this program the way we want it to be. So that part.
That's fantastic.
I'm going to be on the ground floor of something amazing, sis.
Yes, you and are.
And this is just the beginning. I know you haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast yet, but I've had people who have listened to the podcast and are getting my information, wanting me to speak and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'll speak as long as you're paying me. I don't do shit for free.
Good. So, yeah. Hey, girl, you have learned the first three lessons. I mean, these are the first three lessons you get in law school, even. Lesson one is get the money up front. Lesson two is get the money up front. And lesson three, do I need to repeat lesson three? Lesson three is get the money up front.
Yes.
Now just for fun. Sorry, go ahead, Tracy.
Well, for those of you guys who didn't, the Sunday before last, I did a podcast with Mike Bonin, who used to be a city council person in the city of Los Angeles. And, back those couple of years ago when those horrible tapes came out from the L.A. city council members and one, the president of L.A. Fed, which is the union, the L.A. Federation of Unions. And one of the things they talked about was Mike Bonin's son. Mike Bonin and his husband are white, and they adopted a little black boy, and they were on the MLK Day parade float, and they called a little boy a little monkey, and all sorts of stuff. So Mike Bonin did not run for re-election because it had gotten so toxic on LA City Council, because he wanted to concentrate on his health and his son and his family. So he asked me the other day to do a podcast with him and another person. Her name is Marissa Roy. She is a civil rights attorney with the California Department of Justice. So yes, Kamala Harris used to be her boss. And how the podcast broke down was Mike Bonin basically talked to us about, asking like Marissa what a DA actually does and the legal aspects of what they can and cannot do. And then my part of the podcast was to give the human side of what happens when people are subjected to draconian laws. And so it was basically, we're trying to tell people why we need to reelect George Gascon, because he is a progressive attorney. Because everybody's like, oh, he's supple. This one guy who was running against him actually said that George Gascon is ushering in the golden age of crime in Los Angeles County. They said that this is, and they're talking about Teflon crime, which translates to throw more black and brown people in jail. So I just talked about what it's like to be a person unfairly convicted and whatnot, and what I lost. And the whole thing is just to let people understand that it is just not cut and dry when it comes to criminal justice. And we talked about, because they're going at them because of cash bail. And it's just a really good podcast. And I did a good job because I've had practice. How many years have I been talking to you, Robin?
More than a decade.
See,
that's the thing. I know you have subject matter expertise. I will get around to it, to listening, Tracy. But the fact of the matter is, and I don't mean to diminish your experience. I don't need to, because I know how good you are. Because you're that good here every time you speak.
Thank you, sis. Thank you. So, yeah, so this is going to lead to speaking gigs and one of the organizations that I'm a member of that I told you guys about, the Faces of Women in Prison, that teaches formerly incarcerated women how to tell their stories and become paid public speakers. Well, they're featuring me for Women's History Month. So I'm just waiting for them to tell me when And then I might be going to New York and, okay, Steve, I'm coming. I might be coming to New York, baby. So get ready. I think in June for some panel discussion. And they're paying for that if I come. So stuff like that. So things are going to happen. I'm finally feeling that I'm feeling for the first time in a very long time that I figure, you know, at this point in my life, I should have this, and this, and some serious imposter syndrome going on. But for the first time, I feel like I belong. And I think, you know, other than y'all, I have, and which is great, but the testosterone, besides me and Robin, we don't get too many women calling in on this show anymore. But, and even, I do love you guys, but you're not, you nobody lives near me. And so to actually find a group of people that I can, you know, that thinks along the same lines as me politically, and then they're queer. And one of the things that Felicia wants to do is it wants it to be, you know, multi-generational, you know, multi-ethnic, non-conforming gender, whatever, just the place where people are like, this is where I belong, no matter who I am or what, no matter what I do or who I love or don't love or what have you. Because people need community. And I think that's one of the problems that we're having in this country, where everybody is so disconnected and detached. There's no community, except for on the Republican side, because those motherfuckers find community. And this is how they keep the shit the way they keep it, because they find people who think as long their twisted minds as they do. But we as progressives, it is very hard to find community, because one of the problems that I have noticed, especially in this last few months, dealing with, you know, up close and personal with Los Angeles politics and within the progressive ranks, we talk about this. You've talked about this on several occasions, sis, about the sparkle pony unicorn.
And oh, no, the sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol.
That part. And so many things, and I'm sitting there because again, you and I are political grown-ups, and that's what I love about Felicia. She's like, there's so many things that I get mad about, like George Gascon and stuff like that, but that's not going to keep me from voting from him. I'm not, you know, things that, but you think I'm happy with everything that Biden does? Fuck no. But it's not going to keep me from voting for him. And so there were this, listening to some of these people, and I would say a couple of things, but mostly I just shook my head and just like, damn, motherfuckers, have you not learned what happens when we fall asleep at the wheel? We gotta put on our big girl panties or whatever the hell and say, look, this may not be perfect, motherfuckers, but do you really want 4 more years of Trump? That's all I
got to
say.
Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Why, yes, as a matter of fact.
I'm not in a concentration camp with striped pajamas, and I'm not trying to be funny, but the first people that they're going to send to the camps are the people that look like you and me, sis.
Bingo.
And me.
And, yeah.
And I wanted to ask Tracy, because I think she's uniquely qualified, being she's a woman and a black woman at that, to give us her thoughts on the lieutenant governor of North Carolina. I want to know what she thinks of him.
Now, see, here's the funny. My mother is not a cussing woman, right? My mother lives in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And the things that,
there's no words, Tracy. There's no words. I understand.
There are no words. And I thought Tim Scott and Clarence Thomas and Jesse Lee Peterson and E.W. Jackson and...
wait a minute. E.W. Jackson.
Yeah, E.W. Jackson.
You have to do it. You have to do it in the style of the Pineapple Prince.
Right. I thought those were some self-loathing, lip-licking Negroes. How forever? This motherfucker has them beat. It's like there was a contest, and it's like, okay, we're going to have a contest, or who could be the, you know, and the award for Uncle Tom of the Year goes to, you know, and it is embarrassing. It's more than embarrassing. It hurts. It hurts my soul. Oh, and I forgot about the Attorney General of Kentucky who got bitch slapped by the spirit of Breonna Taylor when he ran for office last year. That made my heart sing. But it's just it just pains me. Because, like I said, when they start sending us to the camps, some of these people might stay out for a while, but I do not want to be around when they realize that they are Black, or when they are in a situation that their cover of white, their white adjacent protection is no longer a part of their lives. I don't wish that on anybody, but I kind of do. Especially for the lieutenant governor of North Carolina.
Well, if more people would pay attention to Project 2025 and what it says and actually read through it, they'd realize the first goal is to get rid of what they're calling undocumented workers, you know, brown people. And then they took it a step after that, and they said when they're done with that, they're going to remove legalized immigrants to the country who are here as citizens and kick them out too. That means my dad, who came here from Jamaica in the 60s.
Right. It's and like you said, and so like when you take something like Project 2025, and the man said on day one, if he is reelected, he's going to go after his enemies, which means pretty much everybody that's on this call and our friends and our families and all these people. And he's not just talking about elected officials or people, you know, or MSNBC, you know, like Rachel Maddow. No, he's not just talking about the famous ones, y'all. He's talking about people like us because we are constantly fighting and pushing and advocating and preaching truth to power. So when you have people like us, of course they're going to want to silence us. There's a podcast called It's Been a Minute or something like that. It's on, you know, National Petroleum Radio. And the hostess is this amazing Black woman. I can't think of her name. And I caught the beginning of her one of the episodes that was just dropped a couple of days ago. And you know what she was talking about? The erasure, like you were talking about it, Robin, a couple of minutes ago, about there's only what, one newspaper in, you know, all the newspapers in Alabama are disappearing.
Yeah.
Except for one, maybe. The LA Times, they just had a massive layoff and stuff like that. She was talking about true journalism is disappearing.
I mean, it happens out on it. Real journalism happens on multiple platforms, but I don't know. But maybe I'm just a Gazette, and I like to read my Gazette. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Brother Deacon Asa a little bit ago said, "I award you two murder hornets in hell." For that bird dog joke, and you ain't even uttered the punchline yet. So that's probably the Gazette and Gazette, or that's probably another murder hornet or two. But
and to jump back to Biden for a half a second in his speech last night,
kind of a personal pint of pride. I think most people tune this stuff out if it doesn't equate to them. But for only the second time in history, an American president spoke to Robin and I directly and said, he's got our back. Directly. In a mic in front of America.
Yeah.
That's special.
And, you know, Jeremy, in the trans community, we've got our own fair share of sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol members. And I see these posts every day. What's he even done? He's not doing anything. And sometimes I think they're just troll posts, goblin posts. But he has done things. And the fact that there are even legal fights taking place in court over our rights to just simply exist. And this goes to all of my sisters and brothers and nibblings in the Horn Family Community Congregation. It matters. These fights for our existence would not be taking place without Joe Biden, without his acknowledgement. And yeah, it meant something to me too, Jeremy. It absolutely did. And Tracy, I got a note in a little bit ago from Jude. She said, University of Washington has an excellent dental clinic too. One of my grandkids, when six, visited their pediatric dental clinic. I agree with Tracy, as the focus of such clinics is to instruct students on the full range of care, mind, body, and on a subtle level, yes, a spirit of calmness, which offers the patient a totality of care. Learning arrives in many forms, and dental care is profoundly invasive and for many an anxiety experience. When in the midst of such an intensely focused consciousness of professionals, one can breathe. Sending $10... Thoughts to Kevin from Colorado Springs. May his healing from surgery be progressing daily. Be well, community. Signed, Jude. Thank you, Jude. Thank you so much. And yes, all of our very best going out to Kevin in Colorado Springs. He is dear to all of us. And so, just keeping track, we are down to $630. If we raised $30 more in the next 12 minutes, we would be down to only being unfunded for yesterday and today. And that's profound and tremendous, and that's how the bills get paid and will be paid. So thank you. Thank you, Jude. There was something that popped into my mind a moment ago when... But I know if you do go to Gotham, Tracy, Steve will have to squire you over to Essebagel, and yes. that'll be like that'll probably be your first ever real bagel.
No, I've been in New York before.
Oh, okay
I've
then.
Had a real bagel.
Have you been to Essebagel?
It's been so long, I forget. Girl, now listen. Now, shit, it was over 20 years ago. Don't fuck with me. About where I went. But before I forget about, you know, when people say our votes don't matter. So there was like a progressive slate of, like, there was like five people, including my council person who was running for re-election. But there was like a slate of like four other, you know, including five people, including my council person, running for election. One of them, her name was Julia Burgos. And when people say our vote doesn't count, there's only one, she's ahead by one vote at this point, which if she stays ahead by that one vote or even more, she will be on in the runoff election in November. There's about three or four, and a couple of judges seats as well, that are literally separated by one or two votes, y'all. And at this point in LA County, there's still 300,000 ballots to be counted. But when people say my vote doesn't count, or when we knock on doors and tell reasons why we are vote, you know, why we're not, because like the guy that was running against my council person,
He had paid canvassers. I was a paid canvasser as well. But I'm a paid canvasser because I care about my, I believe in my council person. And I believe in everything that she's done in the 3 years that she has been on LA City Council. And if people, obviously she's doing an amazing job because the money interest, the corporate landlords and the real estate developers spent $1 million to defeat her. But the guy that's running against her, he had canvassers, but they were paid canvassers. One of our canvassers ran into one. And he said, I don't care about this guy. I'm just here for the money. So it comes across your story. Because we tell our stories. This is why I'm supporting this person. And then I ask, is there something that's happening in our community that you want somebody to do something about? And then we engage people. We have conversations. And these things matter. So again, I'm putting my pitch, got a little long. Well, you know, there probably won't be any major campaigning again until maybe May, June or so. But if you have the opportunity, even if it's just doing postcarding, a handwritten note, nobody gets handwritten notes anymore. Or even a text, you know, because they do text banking now that you can text from your phone. And then even have, you know, you can do phone banking from home. These elections are crucial. And if you live in a state where people say California is safe and New York is safe to a certain extent, yes. But I'm seeing more red. We had I forget which race. I think it was Glendale. We had a Moms for Liberty person running out here in Glendale. I think it was Glendale, and I think it was, yes, the school board. And that's where they love to be. So if you have relatives and friends in any states that, especially if they're, you know, crimson, red, or purple, or what have you, make it your business, especially if they're not as engaged as we are or you are, make it your business to know who's running in those cities, in those states, in those counties. Help them do that research and say, you know what? This is who you should go vote for. Or point them in a direction and say, hey, I've done some research about this person. Here's what I've done. Check it out and see what you think. Have discussions. Talk to people. Because the only way we're going to win this is by getting people engaged. And that is something that I will be working on here in LA, getting Black folks engaged, especially when it comes to this DA race and the judge, because we got a DA race in November and we got some judges that are probably going into a runoff as well in November. These people can either help you or destroy your life, as they did for me 25 years ago. So these conversations matter. Even if you don't think they do, they do. So if we all have to commit from here on in, out into November of this year, first Tuesday of November. Please, y'all, we don't have time to play. We got to do this research, find out who's running, and do our work and get things done. That's all.
I've got some good news on International Women's Day. Before the time get too short, I just remembered that no matter what happens now, Vermont will make history. For the first time in its largest city this year, regardless of party, a woman will be mayor of Burlington, Vermont.
How cool.
At the end of the election.
Well, I mean, I hope they choose the right woman.
I hope they do. But the point is, it'll be a woman regardless, which is historic.
Indeed. By the way, I had a note from Steve. This is direct to Ralph's. Ralph's order finally en route. That's the candies. Steve had the devil's own time getting the Esther Price candy app to remember his previous account. So thanks.
Hey, Robin.
Thanks for staying on top of that, Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, They've done this before, and I kept trying to log in, and it said it had no account. And then I finally realized they said they changed their website. So I was like, okay. And then I had to create another account, and all of my prior orders were in there. I just didn't know they did that. So I finally, I actually was just doing it here as I'm sitting at my my favorite beer bar that I get to about once every probably month. And you know what? If you want, you can read. Oh, by the way, did you see my picture I sent to you?
Yes, I did. Stonewall.
Stonewall. I just wanted to send that to you because is it International Women's Day today or yesterday?
Today.
Okay. And given my history with you, I consider that like National Coming Out Day, the second version of that. So I wanted to send that to you as kind of like my little gift.
I appreciate it. It was really sweet, the messages I've gotten today, and it just made me feel so good to be in the company of people I should have been in the company of all my life.
And here I'm gonna be a little crass here, but I'm gonna say it anyway. You're my favorite SEC Southern broad.
Where's my parasol, damn it?
Oh my God! Okay. What is it with people honking? I'm sorry.
Somebody, I thought I laid on a horn. God damn!
Tracy, you have no idea. I was walking to work yesterday, and it was a red light, and this person laid on the horn. I'm not even kidding you. I walked an entire block, and they laid on the horn.
Uh-huh.
So. I mean, anyway, so if you want to, and if Robin, if you want to read out the things that I ordered for Ralph's, I did the best I could to try to get, and they completely changed their website. I don't know why they did that, but they did. So you can't just get like a listing of all of the things that you can buy from them. You have to specify, is it this quantity? Is it that quantity? Does it have this in it? Is it dark? Is it, milk. So I don't know why they did that, but they did.
You know that you're reminding me of something, Steve, and with Tracy here. I gotta reorder. I want to go and check C's and see if they've ever done a zero sugar coffee lolly. Yeah, it's
zero sugar.
Yeah.
I know they have zero sugar. I have sugar free. Lollipops. I'll check, and if they do, I'll send you some.
Oh, bless your
heart.
But
you know what? You know what? You have to be careful because sugar-free oftentimes means sugar alcohols, and sugar alcohol. But that's nothing but a fancy schmancy way of saying X-lax.
Oh.
That's why I say. That's why I said I know they have a sugar-free, but I don't think they have a zero sugar.
But sugar-free usually means that they sweeten it with sorbitol, and sorbitol is a sugar alcohol, which is a laxative.
You know, that reminds me way, way, way back in the program. At one point in time, on Amazon, they offered, you know, the classic gummy bear brand, Haribo.
Yeah.
They offered sugar-free gummy bears. And the reviews were some of the funniest things I've ever read, because it was all people saying that they ate those things and developed explosive.
Oh shit!
That we, yes.
Just say ellipsis, because we all know what that means.
Yeah. But oddly enough, I do like ice cream, Steve, and I try to exhibit not practice moderation, but I've mentioned there's a brand of ice cream out there now that has like 9 carbs in an entire pint, and it's called Rebel, and it's delicious, and yeah, it's those sugar alcohols.
But I think you can get used to those. It's and also
well, so far, yeah, so far like, it hasn't.
I don't have a problem with them. Some people do, but
look,
I don't.
Look. Folks, come on. Can we talk here? Look, certain things are treats. Certain things are treat. Ice cream is a treat. Okay, chocolate is a treat. So, just get the real shit. Because if you don't eat it too often,
You can get the real shit.
Yeah, but no, well, have, no. Hold up. You don't know me as well as you think you do, mister. Because okay. Sometimes
ice cream is two food groups.
Ice cream is its own food group, and sometimes
true.
Sometimes
as
I,
is chocolate.
Sometimes so, yeah. I have these moments where I turn into a trash panda.
Okay. So it's one of those things where you can't resist. So one scoop of ice cream turns into an entire pint.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, things. It's the pint. Yeah. That is one serving of Häagen-Dazs in my world.
Okay.
I make it no secret I'm a type 1. So I should go easy on ice cream. I do not get sugar free. I get full sugar ice cream. I get a half pint container. And I find a small bowl, and I still find a way to put 3/4 of that half pint in that fucking bowl.
I was just going to say, somehow that bowl manages to accommodate the entire pint.
Jeremy, honey, the struggle is real.
Yeah. Like I said, I can put that whole pint in that small little fucking bowl, even though it's a half pint. So, right. Yeah.
And by the way, to get back to the purpose, Ralph's, what's coming to you are cashew butter supremes, caramels, milk, and dark. Cashew bark, dark, sea salt caramels, dark, and nuts and chews, milk, and dark. And I will go ahead and say, yes, I don't always buy sugar-free because, the other day I was up at the Pig, and they had leftover Christmas candy, and they had several boxes, and it's devilishly hard to find, even in the Christmas season, the Chella dark chocolate cherry cordials. I have bought the entire stock because I will not see them again until Christmas. And the other night I trash panned about a half a layer of those little bastards.
No, don't feel bad, sis. I think I told you about.
I'll be there with you.
Here they go. I told you about the speaking of sea candy, the caramel apple lollipops. And I bought.
Why are you thinking?
I've been really good because they come out only during Halloween.
I'm about to sock him in his face.
What happened?
Sorry, no. There's violence at the airport, and I don't care because I'm going to make my money regardless. But anyhow, so they only come out in Halloween, and so last year I went to the See's Candies by my house and bought like 8 boxes of caramel apple.
Girl, lollipop. Well they're freaking delicious.
Yeah, see, I mean, come on. So as far as See's Candy goes, they have chocolate, lolly, sugar-free butterscotch, and sugar-free chocolate. They don't have the coffee.
Well, then that means I have to follow Steve's advice and just Just do the thing because, you know, I bought a bag of Tootsie Pops the other day.
Now, I'd be loving me some Tootsie Pops, sis. They're not as good as they used to be when we were kids.
They are not. And the lemon ones are gone. The lemon ones are gone as far as I can tell. Never cared much for the raspberries. These have grape, orange, cherry, and chocolate. And honestly, the chocolate just leaves me cold. But the first time I had one of those See's chocolate lollipops, damn, it was like putting a hard Dove bar in my mouth.
Are those the ones that I sent you?
Yes.
Okay.
And the chocolate is the best of all of them.
And as a matter of fact, it's so funny, because I sent somebody some CDs the other day on my account, and yes, your name and address is still on my account. Mm-hmm.
Ooh. And thank you, Jeremy. We've reached the end of the program. Jeremy, thank you for jumping in. We are now down to $620 to go. $20, and we're fully funded for this past Wednesday. Yes, Steve?
I just want to let you know, if anybody said anything to me and I seemed to go dark, my vet called. So
okay.
I'm sorry, I have to say this. I have to say this. My 16-year-old cat went to the vet last week. He got his blood test. He can barely see. Okay.
Aww.
Okay. But his blood test actually came back better than the last time he had blood work. So my little baby, and I think, did I send you the video?
Yes, you did.
The YouTube, when he was the poster cat for the adoption agency here in New York. So he's doing very well. He actually told me, because I had to run some errands today. I had to leave my apartment, and he told me, he said, make sure you tell Robin that I'm doing well.
Aww.
He also mentioned Tracy. I don't know how he knew Tracy, but he mentioned Tracy, and he said to me, that woman is a super bitch. That's my cat saying that. I don't know why he said it that way.
I understand. They can be like that. Well, you tell him that I send send all my love, and to just keep being better, and yeah. That little Miss Lucy Purr sends her warmest regards yeah. too.
And he also said this, and again, I don't know where this came from. He hates being in a carrier, but he told me, he said, look, if we ever go down to an SEC party, I'm willing to get in my carrier and go down, and I'll stay in the hotel. But I'm going to go down just to be there. So Robin, but you'd have to come down to the hotel. But he's willing. He's willing to
meet him. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, he's willing to meet you.
So,
yeah, I think Steve's imagining this because cats lack the opposable lips to make all those sounds.
Listen, Jeremy, you're clearly not a cat person to say something like that.
No, Jeremy, it's the bond, and it's all done clairvoyantly.
I know, I'm picking. I had a cat for 18 years. I loved him.
Okay. Well, you know the saying, dogs have owners, cats have staff.
Yes.
Cats have antennas. Their ears move when they're not sleeping. They're aliens. I swear to God, they're little spies.
No, I know. And they also know exactly when you're not, you know. But anyway,
we got to give equal time to the doggos out there too, because Mr. Shadow, Annette and I just sit there petting him and we're like, this is dangerous. Cause I sit there and it's like, I can't love you enough. I love you with my entire being, but it's not enough. It's less than you deserve. He came bounding up onto the bed this morning to say good morning to me, and I was sitting there cross-legged on the bed, and sometimes he thinks he's still a puppy, and he thinks he can get his entire body onto my lap, and so I'm just sitting there cross-legged on the bed, and he bounds up, looks at me, goes whoop, and larps my entire face, turns around, and sits himself down on my lap, and tries to get all four paws, you know. And I just felt like I was going to collapse from the wonderfulness of it all. Oh, and Kayla and Tegan, say hi to Mason there, Steve. That comes from Ralph's just over the river in New Jersey. So,
yes, hey to Kayla and Tegan. I'm sorry it took me so long, Ralph's. But the stuff... It's been ordered. I ordered it tonight, so it should be on the way in the next couple of days. And you won't be disappointed. I promise.
Oh, Randy Radar said, way to ruin food porn, Robin. And added, plant-based stevia is fine as a sweetener, so long as it's not paired with erythritol, which has been associated with an increased risk of heart attacks and strokes. Oh, dear. I tried stevia, but I thought it bitter on the same level as the way that Sweet and Low is bitter.
Mm.
But, you know, a lot of this weight that I've lost is simply because I eliminated sugary beverages from my diet. Because I don't have any business drinking a quart-sized fountain Coke. Who the hell do I think I am?
Stevia is initially sweet. It's the aftertaste is the sour part, and that sucks. You're right.
Yeah, but I don't mind it. I use pure stevia. It's they sell it in this store where you can buy it without the sugar alcohol.
Honestly, folks, I'm going to tell you something.
Does it come as a fine white powder?
Of all of the sweeteners that are artificial, in terms of the effect on your body, Splenda, which is sucralose,
right,
is actually the best. Because it's very low on the, what's that? The scale. What's the scale that affects blood sugar? What's that scale called?
Glycemic index or something?
Glycemic index. On the glycemic index. Splenda is very low. It's much better than sugar
alcohol. But they dinged it a couple of months ago for being carcinogenic.
It's like saccharin. It's carcinogenic if you eat a pound of it.
Yeah, a mountain of it.
At any given time. Yeah.
Okay, I need to answer this question because this is fact based and important. Quick question before the show ends. I'm dictating this due to my recent rotator cuff surgery. Sadly, this unnamed Mets fan will not be throwing any fastballs this season, but soon enough he'll be typing again. Anyway, my question is this: why was Dr. Ronnie Jackson demoted? Until it was mentioned a while ago on the show, I hadn't heard anything about it. Thanks, Kevin in Colorado Springs, otherwise known as the unnamed Mets fan, to be named later. Well, we named him later. Kevin, it's because of his behavior while he was White House physician. He was basically running a pill mill. And he was abusing subordinates. He abused a female subordinate. He drank and did Ambien. And through all night drug-fueled, booze-fueled parties, the Navy Office of Inspector General investigated, substantiated all the claims, and busted him for it. So all the things that were said about him passing out pills in the Trump White House was true.
Again, busted in post-retirement, proving they can still come after Steve. You know, hot dog water man. They can still come after the two fucking brothers from January 6th, whatever their name, the Flynn brothers. They still can be busted. It's their time's coming.
God, from your lips to God's ear, Jeremy. So that's the program, y'all. If we could round up another $20, we would be fully funded all the way through yesterday. So yesterday and today, and that makes going into More and Monday a lot easier. Let me check my calendar real quick in case of any potential program notes. I have a surgery consult on Monday, but that's in the morning, and it should not affect my ability to be here come what will then be 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It'd be nice if the weather would change tomorrow and I could put the ribs on, but so far it's telling me it's rain all day. Great. I'm so excited speaking of food porn. I'm so excited to be back to making food on the smoker again. And I can't wait to take it around. I was telling my friend over at Secret Sandwich Society that once I've got everything up and running, I will do something that I haven't done for 4 years, or almost 4 years. Just a couple of weeks before Secret burned in December of 2020, a horror for the entire community, I did a shift meal, and I've done them a couple of times there. So, you know, I'll do a brisket and a pork shoulder, and I'll sizzle up some Kaneka and make some poppers. Yes, poppers. It'll be wonderful. But we're going to start with ribs. That way I can, because I haven't done it in a while, I'm going to have to perfect my technique again. And then I can give step-by-step instructions to Cynthia as she prepares to fix her first meal on her acorn. And so, having had the bicoastal burn-in yesterday, maybe we'll have a bicoastal barbecue. Sounds good. Absolutely, Steve. We absolutely can. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. By the way, we've only got one subscriber on the 7th and one subscriber on the 8th. If anybody would like to do a subscription, in this case, Marcia would have some company. Thank you. Thanks to our challenge makers and our respondents. Thank you so much for the challenges this evening. We knocked out a big chunk of our deficit, and that's so important. And so we're going to get the necessary bills paid. Freaking Appalachian power just destroys me. We don't use much electricity around here, and yet somehow it always manages to be north of $400. Oof. Don't know quite why. Well, yes, I do. Because Co keeps the lights on.
Because money.
Yeah, and because the antiquated, rickety, coal-fried power grid is expensive, and so are those fucking shareholder profits. Absolutely. Thanks to each.
You know, I won't.
Go ahead.
I won't complain because I live in a trailer, but mine's almost $200 a month myself, and all I leave on is my tower. So I hear you some degree of that.
Yeah, I mean, we don't run a furnace in the winter. What kills us is the space heaters. So hopefully, no more frigid overnights. Used to be, you know, in the summertime when we were just running a couple of ACs. Power bill would be, yeah, $120. Now it's nearer to $300, and there's those shareholder profits again. But thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, in the chat room. Thank you, Jeremy, for your assistance. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please leave a comment or a review on whatever podcasting platform you listen on. Like, subscribe, etc. I'm sorry about yesterday's upload. I don't know what the screw-up was. Started last night, and it just continued. It was like dominoes through the day. This one I'll get right. Please. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 25 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Remember, the back porch will continue live after this program goes off the air and the stream stops. Jump, come on by if you'd like to. The conversation gets, well, it's already good. It gets even better, I think. Get your booster if you haven't. Be on the lookout for the new one when it comes out, like Roger was talking about. Get your flu shot if you haven't yet. Still not a bad idea. Summer flus suck. Maybe even worse than winter ones. Wear your mask if you're going to be around the maggots, for obvious reasons. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance as best you can. And, you know, if Dr. Ronnie Candyman Jackson, no longer an admiral, approaches you somewhere out in the world and says, take a pill, avoid him like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Wayne and Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.